Lord, we thank you for your beautiful people, hungry for your word, ready to receive. We thank you for every desire in a heart this morning. We thank you because of the kind of desires in every heart this morning, desires to be blessed by your word, desire to minister to you and to receive of you, desire to be of help to many others, hence a detailed attention to the things of the Spirit. Lord, we ask that this morning you will cause us to be filled with your knowledge. You will cause us to be filled with the revelation of your word. Oh, we'll have questions in every mind answered. You will cause us to have enlightenment in our minds regarding our rights and privileges in your name. Father, this we ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Did I get more response? Say hallelujah. Okay, so we'll continue from where we took a pause. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, being our text, Joshua 1, 8. Joshua 1, 6, Joshua 1, 8. Ephesians chapter 6, and then in verse 10. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, and then in 10. So he says, finally, my brethren, are we all there? I hope everyone is in their Bibles this morning. If you are not with your Bible, it just signifies, so we'll help you with that. Okay, everyone. Are you sure it's everyone? All right, everyone, thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, by the way, I said we need more extra Bibles. It's been on my mind for weeks. All right. So he says, chapter 6, so if you are there, that means you can read with me, right? Right? Okay, so let's read verse 10 together, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and then verse 10. Want to go? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Then it says, let him put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, actually evil days. Hallelujah. And having done all to stand. He says, because you know he has said in chapter 5 that these are evil, right? So it's this. Hallelujah. You may be able to stand. He says, stand therefore, having your loins guard the bowel of the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, the shield of faith, quench the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying all this is prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. He says, for all saints. And then, and for me, he says, utterance. So he's talking about prayer. For utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly. Then, hallelujah. Read on and on. Amen. So we're looking at the subject of believers' authority, our dominion, or our rights in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, before I do that, you observe I've been doing two things. I've been showing us some things about Bible teaching, Bible interpretation, right? And then we'll move on to the other. So, hallelujah. So we'll be looking at two things side by side, just taking advantage to teach us or to enlighten us more around Bible teaching, Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So let me say this. You see, every believer, are we together? Ought to be a student of the Word of God. Are we together? Because you observe that the church, now if I'm talking, you write. Are we together? That's how to learn. You write. Praise the Lord. If I'm teaching, you write. When you are being taught, you write. Hallelujah. That's a sign of seriousness. Is it clear? Is it clear? Aha. You don't really get much by just watching. Because this is not a movie. Right? Right? You look at us at Kuala Mall. You just go to the mall. Sunday morning. You just say, this Sunday, we'll just catch cruise. All of us at the mall. Sunday morning, we must be there for evangelism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So, you know, the church is not a canteen. Maybe canteen is an old word, but maybe a restaurant. Now, when you go to a restaurant, you go with your money. You want to eat, right? So, you're expecting to select the menu. So, someone comes, let's say a waiter. He comes, say, hello, good afternoon, ma'am. What would you like us to serve? I think I'll be very cool if I work in a canteen. Say, hello, good afternoon, ma'am. Please, how may we serve you? We have this, we have this, we have this. So they bring that long list, right? You got the menu. So you look at it and say, okay, say this rice. Is it white rice? Yes. What kind of rice? Is it local or fada? Or, you know, is it imported or what do you call it? So you say, okay, I don't want that rice. Do you have a basmati? So you don't know basmati. So what do you know? Say, do you have basmati? And Mexican. I want basmati Mexican. So say, this I don't like chips. I don't like this. So what are you doing? You are selecting what you want, right? From what you don't want. Hallelujah. That's in the canteen. Because you are in control there. Hallelujah. If you don't go there, they're going to run bankrupt, isn't it? Ha. But that is not church. In the church, you don't select. Why? Because in the church, Christ is serving you. Are you with me? In the local assembly, Christ is serving you. So, you don't get to select what you like and what you don't like. Well, I like... Let me tell you the first thing I like about church. See, I like... how the ushers dress. Then that's a sign that you are not very fine. I'm sorry. But that's isn't a good sign. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So you don't get to select. You don't say, oh, the only part of that church I don't like is when they are praying. Then you're most likely not born again. I'm sorry. Or you're maybe not born again. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he said, I like this. I don't like that. I like this. I don't like that. No. You don't even have to like anything. How many of you like drugs? There are very few people in my life that I know that like drugs. Very few people. Very few people. I know quite a number of people, but very few like drugs. We all don't like drugs. Even the smell of it puts some of us off. I know some people that can't stand hospital. They say, I don't like going to the hospital. You see, that smell that comes from the hospital. Or stand in the pharmacy, a drugstore. See, that smell. But you don't have to like drugs. But drugs are good. They keep your body back in shape. Are we together? Are we together? So, you don't have to like church modules of training. Now, you need to like it. The earlier you start liking it, the better. Are we together? Are we together? But you see, you don't have to have liked it. What is important is that this word Christ is serving you. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, in the church, I have the attitude of a student. I'm in the church to learn. When we come together like this, we come together to learn. Even when we are not together, are probably activities that have been instructed, the way the week goes, the way the month goes, it's still learning. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
is still learning. So I'm here to learn. Hallelujah. So look at it. I attend church like a student. Is it clear? Is it clear? I attend church like a what? Can I get a response? I attend church like a what? Like a student. I attend church like a student. Now, the moment you go into the classroom, you can already know students that won't pass. They don't have the textbooks. Are we together? They don't have the textbooks. Well, except for some strange people. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. They don't have the textbooks. Amen. I said amen. They don't have notes. Maybe they come late to classes. They don't keep track of teachings. So if you ask, you know, if you ask, what did the lecturer explain, or what has the teacher explained the last class, they don't remember. That's how you know students are going to fail. Now, that attitude might be excused in a school, but life doesn't excuse those attitudes. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? I'm here to receive God's word. That's why we keep aside all distractions. Distractions. I say, you don't give your first time as Coke. I say, well, as I drink Coke myself. Well, as I drink Coke myself. Amen. I said, amen. It's not bad. I could just be a distraction. We want, when people come to church because they love the Lord. Not because last week they ate fried rice and chicken. Hallelujah. So, the day we don't serve fried rice and chicken, people go back home angry. I didn't say hungry, angry. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. They are in the church to learn. So look at this. I have the sanity of a learner. Did you get what I said? I have the what? The sanity, the orderliness of a learner. The orderliness of a student. My comportment. Look at this. I'm not sitting in church and then I'm gisting with someone by my side. I'm gisting. Sometimes some folks even come to church and while service is on, they are chatting on WhatsApp. That is mad. That's crazy. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, you don't like what I'm saying now? The pastor has started again. Hallelujah. So you're chatting. You're chatting. Yeah, we go finish soon. Share the food already. Are you sure you are going to be well fed when you go home? Sure going to MIUA. Hallelujah. See, I'm hungry to receive. Look at this. When we come to church, one of the things that happens in church is that the gathering of the saints serves as a reminder to you of the things that you have received in the faith. Why? Because you just need to be consistently reminded to walk in them. The truths of the faith, are we together? The things of the faith, just like many other things that you must do well, the things of the Spirit are things that require consistent remembrance. Hence, consistent what? Reminders. Is it clear? You must remember them. So we remind you all the time. And in that reminder, are we together? When we bring that back to you, we bring it back to you detailedly, in a detailed fashion. Because your walk in them just has to be precise. Are you with me, church? For you to have a precise walk, these things must be broken down. You know, in quotes. Detailedly explained, tailored before you. So look at this. Church is not a place I hurry into and I hurry out. Are we together? You know what we do today is that, you know, look at this. We want to worship God and then we say 2 hours. No, that's not worship. Now, it's fine if we allocate time. Are we together? It's fine. If we took a service between 8:30 and 11:30, 8:30 and 12, it's fine. Are we together? But look at this. A heart of worship is a heart that has come to carry out activities of worship. Look at this. Till the one who is being worshipped is pleased. Glory to God for two more. And when we worship God, we are also edified. So time. What did I say? What did I say? Time. Hallelujah. You're preparing for exam and then you go to the library. How long do you read? How long do you read? You read till you are done reading, right? Right? Can I get a response? You read till the material is finished, right? Or some of us read the exam caught up with us. Paper has started. People are sitting here. See? So you are rushing. See, I've forgotten that one again. You are looking for it. He's right on that page. You're looking for it on page 20. And it's there. Say, hey, what's the acronym again? Echo Babaga. Because you have put several things in. You know how we do those things, right? Say, list 11. You say, Echo Babaga. Because you have not read. So the moment you enter the exam, you are looking for Echo Babaga. Is it question 3? No question. There is no Echo Babaga question. Say, God, the things I read did not come out. Because you didn't read the whole material. You didn't read the whole material. The things I read did not come out. The things I did not read are the ones that come out. You sound like someone that said, the things I don't want to do, I do them. The things I now don't say, I now don't do. It shows you are a poor student. Hallelujah. And when you see the scholars, you know they are the ones quiet before the exam. But either you have not read, I shout at each other. It's echo baba gap. Oh, don't confuse me. I don't even like standing anywhere is discussing because you cram everything. You didn't read. Hallelujah. To now make matters worse. You're not doing what? It says that when you speak in unknown tongues, no one understands. So it means you are going to write in your exam things that nobody understands except God. Except God. You say, but I prayed. Now shut up. Those who are not praying are passing. Are we together? Say, he that speaks in tongues, I'm speaking the wisdom of God. Who told you physics is the wisdom of God? Who told you chemistry is the wisdom? Chemistry is chemicals. Hydrogen plus oxygen will give you water. The water you are praying is the Holy Ghost. That one is the new birth. Are we together? And then you see ones who have read. They are just quiet. They are just looking at all of you. Echo Babaga. All the Echo Babaga. Echo Babaga. And just go in there. You keep writing. It's like you are the first to finish. Or you are the last person sitting. So it's the only last person sitting. If you know the questions and you know how to, you will just be done average time. Yeah, I'm a baby by a law, meaning he's a lie. What were you writing 3 hours? Because you have not read. So bad students have signs. Are we together? So look at it. Very poor Christians, and I'm not talking about money. I mean, those who are poor in their Christian life also have signs. Hallelujah. They have signs. So the church helps you. Are we together, church? To be a strong Christian. Say, I'll be a strong Christian. So you come as a student to learn, to receive. Then you go back home. Then you study out the things you have received. You memorize them. You meditate on them. Are we together? Are we together? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And then someone said to me just a while ago, he said, he got a teaching. So he chatted me up. That was on Messenger. So he said, so he was just saying something I just read. I didn't respond. Then now they said something. So he said something that caught my attention. So I just said, hello. So one of the things he said that he's shocked at how, you know, that this is just by the way. He said he was shocked at how I was ruling out Greek words and Hebrew words in the teaching. Like, you can already tell that I wasn't holding a material where he said I was just ruling out Greek and Hebrew. He said, how were you able to do that? It's simple. That's, anybody can do that. Even atheists do that. Are we together? But for me, look at this. I have those facts in my head, in my mind. Now, somebody else, maybe I have friends who are doctors. Maybe what they have in their head is some medical jargons. Now, when I say medical jargons, I don't mean rubbish. I mean medical terms. Are we together? Some of my friends are talking. I'm a microbiologist. I'm familiar with some of those. But sometimes, you know, call medical doctors are talking and I'm like, oh my God. you have moved me aside. I don't know that area. Are we together? Some people, it's biochemistry that are in their head. Structures. Organometallic compounds. And then some folks, I saw somebody who knew the structure of hemoglobin. I said, yay! Hemoglobin. He put it down. Chlorophyll. I said, oh my gosh. How do you do this thing? So, for me, look at it. I have, maybe I don't have chemistry. But look at it. I have this text in my head. I know the book. I know the chapter. I know the verse of just virtually anything. I know the Greek words. Many times I'm telling you how many times those words were used in the New Testament books. Sometimes I'm telling you how many times the Greek word was used. Some other times what I'm telling you is how many times that word was translated into English, going to Hebrew. Sometimes I'm telling you the very first time the word was used in different sections of the Bible. All of that simply shows you how much the faith means to me. Are we together? For that doctor of mine, friend of mine, that shows me how much medicine means to him. And that's beautiful. For the accountant, he knows all the laws and the theories and the formulas and all that. He said theory this by so this in the year this, theory this by the... He knows all of that. It shows how much his course means to him. But look at me. It shows how much the Christian faith means to me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Because look at it. The same way he learns those medical terms is the same way you learn the Bible. Don't go and follow those that said the Holy Ghost burnt Bible into their head like CD. Oh. And then the Holy Ghost came and then he put a Bible in his brain. I remember many years ago the preacher was talking. He said, God put Bible in my brain. Ha! All of us were like, ha! Oh God! You must put Bible in my brain too today. Oh God! Nobody left with Bible in their brain. Nobody. Because God doesn't put Bible in people's brains. In fact, we believed him because we didn't have Bible in our head. We have not read our Bibles. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I was talking to someone yesterday that when I was very much younger, some people would preach. They say things like, oh, God is powerful. I've had awkward things in my life. He said, God is powerful. Someone said, oh, I remember some 15 years ago, there about 16. He said, oh, God is big and God is mighty. He says, you that when you are hot, you will rush and be looking for cotton wool.
says God doesn't go anywhere. He just stretched his hands and caught the wool. He was talking about the cloud. So we believed him. He said, you see cotton wool all over the sky. Cotton wool. He said, you see cotton wool all over. Now that looks very foolish. But I mean, when we're very young, we're like, then we are looking for cotton. He said, God doesn't move. And he was trying to explain the almightiness of God. That we just stretch his hands and cut that thing. See, so today, I'm like, what does he do with cotton wool? Hallelujah. But look at it. Now you're laughing because that looks stupid. But some of us, that's exactly how we look like when it comes to the faith. We believe stupid things. Are we together? See, I don't believe stupid things. Now, the way you not believe stupid things is by giving your attention to learn. And sometimes when you have learned, people start saying you are proud. No, you are not proud. Hallelujah. It's just that light can't worship darkness. I'm not proud. But ignorance can't worship what? Knowledge can't worship what? Ignorance. Praise the Lord forevermore. I said, praise the Lord forevermore. So I'm here to learn. See, I'm here to learn. Hallelujah. So in the church, the faith is reminded you again and brought to you in a detailed fashion. So, see, you must learn to give services time. In as much as in church, we also very timely. You also must learn to give the faith what? Time. Don't hurry into service, hurry out. Don't leave before the service is over. Don't. You compromise spiritual growth. Don't get into the service after you have started. Don't rush into service. And don't rush out of service. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Say, I'm here to receive. Look at that. Jesus was in the temple at 12 o'clock. Sorry, at 12 years old, he was in the temple. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 to 42. He was in the temple at 12. What was he doing? He was studying the scriptures for 3 days. 3 days at 12. So in Matthew 28, look at what it says. It says, go and make what? Disciples. And the age bracket. He didn't say go and make disciples of young people. He didn't say that. So he didn't say go make disciples of old people, aged people, elderly people. He didn't say go and make disciples of non-students, working class. No. No. He also didn't say go and make disciples of campus students. No. He says go and make disciples of all nations. And that word nation, are we together, does not immediately refer to geographical locations. Even though it will refer to geographical locations, but that word nation, ethnos, simply means all kinds of people, where you have ethnicity. All kinds of people. So the age has been put into perspective. The background has been put into perspective. Are we together, church? The professions have been put into perspective. The societal classes have been put into perspective. The language have been put into perspective. Are we together? The skin color, the language, the tribe. Are they elite people in the society? I showed you last week in Acts 17, right? Two sets of people. Some of the baser sort. Are we together? In verse 10, 11. Then we saw the elite. Hallelujah. Or the elite rather, in verse 10 and 11. Then we saw some of the baser sort in Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 2, 3, and 4, I believe. Hallelujah. Different men, different societal classes. Jesus himself had people that the community would have classified as low-level guys. Are we together? And he also had those community that would be classified as wealthy people, like the Arimathea. Himself, the Arimathea was a rich man.
And Jesus had many people like that. Jesus had religious people, religious leaders. Also one time, people like Nicodemus and some of the Pharisees. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. At another time, we saw a rich young ruler came to Jesus asking questions about what to do. Even though at that very time, the Bible says he left disappointed at what he had because of his, you know, wrong expectations. Are we together, church? We saw Paul too. We saw people like Erastus, the chamberlain. We saw people who were in charge of the treasury of the city. We saw people like the Ethiopian Enoch that was in charge of the treasure of the queen. Are we together? Are we together? We saw different people. Different people. We also saw people who were in prison. Who were in prison in Acts 16. And Paul would teach and disciple. We also saw military officers under Paul. Military officers like the jailer, right? The jailer. That was a, you know, today that's like someone in a correctional center, but then that was their military. The jailer. That was the military units. So you have all sorts of people. And look at this. Jesus says, go and make what? Disciples. So he does not mention age. That means, look at this. It is never too early to start discipling a child. Are we together? It's never too early. Because Jesus himself at 12 had already undergone serious discipleship. Serious discipleship at 12. Are we together? Do we have other examples of people who were discipled at a very young age? Definitely. Joseph was discipled at a very young age. David also. Oh, we see someone like Jeremiah at 7. Already discipled. Oh, we now see people like Samuel, right from birth. Immediately, it's like he was born in a Bible school. Right from birth. The moment he was weaned from the mother, Hannah, separated unto the Lord. And discipleship began. And we saw those kind of people serve the Lord to the end of their lives. Are we together? So you cannot be an unserious Christian. You cannot be. Hallelujah. See, I take the faith seriously. See, I take the faith seriously. See, I take the faith seriously. That's it. So you come to church. It's a place of discipleship. You don't expect football matches here. You do that on the field. You don't go to the medical school and then, imagine you enrolled in the medical school, you're in the medical school, and then first class, someone comes and discusses, mind you. That was all you did that day. You say, wow, okay, maybe it's just introduction. I like that lecturer. I like that lecturer. Wow. It's even my club. That can't be Chelsea. Maybe another club. You know. And then, you know, he says, I like that lecturer. Say, he discusses, wow, he's current. And then the next time, another lecturer comes, and all he talks about is the current predicament in Nigeria. And that's all you did that day, medical school. Third day, and that's not what on the assignment or on the timetable. The third day you have, let's say, anatomy practical. You're supposed to be there for 6 hours. And then he takes you and says, today we are going to the field, PhD. Then all of you wear GS instead of lab coat. Say, you're not throwing that ball well. I'm going to suspend you from this school. I told you to stand there and throw it like this. Throw it like this. Go and do it. Is that, you are not a good student. What is medical school? And then on the fourth day, the next person is discussing why you should vote for Peter Obi. Or Atiku. Or this person. Why you should vote? Say, vote for this. Why you should vote for one person or the other? Hallelujah. And then the next day, the other person comes and says, well, I'm your physiology lecturer. So for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be teaching you how to cook. Then you know you're in trouble. Are we together? If it's today, you just quickly go on Twitter. I don't know what's happening. You just tag at Uniso. You tag now because I don't know this. I enrolled for medical classes. And I've had lectures on politics, sports, cooking, Nigeria's whatever, then the next person wants to talk about color it. And then the next week we are looking at how to start up a side also. And after that, someone is coming to teach us on how to be posting on Instagram. That's trouble. Are we together? So you know, in such a system, there is already a distortion, isn't it? So why do you think you can come to church and have every other thing except the word? Why? So it shows you a distorted church. Why should you come and we are teaching you how to succeed in your academics? Why should you come and then we are teaching you how to make money? No serious person wants to make money, goes to church to learn it. Are we together? So it's a misplacement of priorities. And the moment we substitute gold with brass, we can't raise believers. We keep the gold. There's a gold of Christian meeting. And look at this. It is Bible study, prayer. And when you have Bible study and prayer, I sent you a clip yesterday, right? How many of you watched it? Uh-huh. Interestingly, that was on my mind to share with you this morning. And I just saw it. That post was put out immediately. I said, whoa. Evangelism. If you are not involved in evangelism in your church, you are not growing. You are far from growth. Because the proof of your understanding of the word that you said you know, and the proof that you have contacted the things and the passion of God in prayer that you claim to be praying, is your what? Your heart and your activity towards the unsaved. You cannot claim to know God and abandon his mission on the earth. Who you know? You only know yourself. You know, there's a kind of reading of the Bible that makes the head to be big and the heart is tiny. No. Bible study enlarges your heart. Hallelujah. And as your heart enlarges, it accommodates people, because you begin to see the world the way God sees it. You reach out to the unsaved. You reach out to the sick to heal the sick. To get the unsaved saved. The unchurched to teach them and to bring them into the sheepfold. The desire of the chief shepherd is to have every sheep in the sheepfold. No sheep straying about. So when you see a sheep around you that is straying about, what do? Come into the sheepfold. That is where nurture is. That is where oversight is. That is where shed is when it's raining. In the sheepfold. That is where nutrients are. That's where drugs are. That's where medications are when you are walking. In the sheepfold. Are we together? So there are a lot of lost sheep. And there are a lot of... they have been won, but they are straying about. Also, lost sheep are saved. Sheep in the flock, are we together? Who are straying about are restored into the church. And that is the work of you and I. Glory to God. Glory to God. Observe that we don't put a speaker on one tall post in the lawn and be playing the word. No. We are teaching the word to you. Because the word is primarily for you. And when you have received it, it will work through you in reaching others. Look at this. The best speaker for the gospel is your mouth. That is where God has ordained that the message will be heard from the mouths of people. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? So I'm not a useless believer. I am useful in the hands of God in winning the lost. So when we come to service like this, it's a celebration of the faith. We don't have outside attractions. We don't have distractions here. You are here to receive God's word. We are here to pray. The moment is holy. Are we together? It's too holy to have a comedian here.
Where? On the pulpit? You are dead. You are dead. You are so dead. Comedian, to make you laugh. Where is the joy of the Holy Ghost? Are we together? And then the comedian is standing there, and then he's using the pastor to crack his jokes. He's using the pastor's wife to crack the jokes. God's holy music team, the comedian is using them to crack the jokes. He's using the ushers and the protocol to crack the jokes. So dare the church. If you have anything that looks like honor in that church, it is false honor. It is what? It is what? False honor. It's not a move of the Spirit. There's a honor that the move of the Spirit produces. Are we together? A holy reverence of the things and the places and the times and the people of God. And the offices those people stand in. There's an office for the music team. Are we together? There's an office they stand in that others in the church don't. So we honor and revere that office. Those that ensure order in our meetings, the ushers and the protocols, that's an office. The technical and the media, that's an office. Are we together, church? Are we together? So, it's a holy moment. So we don't have time for rubbish. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Say, I'm here to be blessed. And to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Alright, so in Ephesians, so let me just kick on from Ephesians. I think it's been normal time. Ephesians chapter 1, everybody. Hallelujah. That's why you observe in our church we have a strong emphasis on teaching. Strong. Are we together? Because the foundation of everything is what? Teaching. The moment you come in contact with our church, the very first thing you note is that these people are teachers. Are we together? Are we together? Whatever it is you come across, if you come across our written materials, or you come across the teaching website, or you come across our social media platform, or maybe all you just do is that you just observe WhatsApp status. Are we together? Or you come in contact with our service. Maybe that's what you came in contact with for the first time. Or maybe what you came in contact with for the first time that we preached to you during evangelism. You just know that there's a detailed attention and passion for the word of God being properly understood without ambiguity. Are we together? Then for that to be properly done, we pray. I say, Gadwa, you pray properly. And proper prayer is not 1 hour. Proper prayer is not 2 hours. Proper prayer is not 3 hours. Proper prayer is not 4 hours, not 5 hours. You pray properly. Are you with me? Are you with me? You pray, you yourself, you know that what? I prayed. We prayed. Why? Because your body will know that you prayed. You know, you don't go to the field and just do 10 minutes. Some of you keep playing football. Till, I know if you go again, no, I don't tired. Are we together? Are we together? So you go out to pray. Because praying, just like football is a natural exercise and a sport, praying is a spiritual exercise. Are we together? Except when we deliberately just time the prayer.
You say, okay, we are praying 1 hour every morning prayer chain. Okay, we are praying 2 hours, 3 hours prayer groups.
Fine.
The first service, okay, we pray 40 minutes before every service.
It was fine.
Are we together? We say, we're going for a prayer meeting. So, a prayer meeting. 12 hours, 15 hours, 24 hours. You pray. You contact the holy passion. Before you are done praying, you exchange burdens. Let the Spirit of God remove the burden on you. And then you take the burden of the Spirit. That's it. So you can't leave such a prayer and someone is sick and you can't help it. No. You'll be able to help it. You were not praying so you can heal the sick. But the time you spent in prayer have put enough on you to advise sicknesses to go back to hell. Are we together? Are we together? You're not praying so that you can have precise words of knowledge. But the times you have spent in prayer for people, when you go to them, their sicknesses are removed. You spend time in prayer for them. You stand before them to teach them God's word, and things about them are revealed to you supernaturally. So they can pay attention to you. Because you have the words for them. Because you spend time praying for them. So we pray properly. So if we study properly and we pray properly, we're going to also reach out towards to people. Then we gather them. Then we care for them. Then we teach, we nurture, till they become also very responsible. And that's what we are doing. Take care of the natural things also. When there is. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we pray properly. We teach the word of God properly. We reach out to the unsaved properly. I do say something. If every believer on the earth have your own attitude to reaching the unsaved, will you be saved? Will you be saved? You won't, definitely. Glory to God forevermore. The reason why people don't pray is because they don't believe in prayer. Forget it. You can talk about prayer, but you don't believe in prayer. The man who believes and trusts in prayer, how you will see it is that he has gone to pray again. He has gone to pray again. Why? That is trust in prayer. So, that I talked about prayer does not mean I trust in prayer. Is it clear? Is it clear? That I sang about prayer does not mean I trust in prayer. That I discussed about prayer does not mean I prayed or I trust in prayer. That I read about prayer does not mean I trust in prayer. You have not demonstrated trust in prayer until you have prayed. And you have prayed again. When have you prayed again? When you pray again. Beyond prayer meetings. There are churches, there are people, there are believers, there are ministers who do not trust in Bible teaching. That's why they just gloss over it and bring out nonsense. They don't believe in Bible teaching. If you believe and you trust in Bible study, in the teaching of the word, if you trust in it, you will dedicate a large part of your service and sessions to teaching the Bible. So, look at this. The things we do, are we together? In the churches. Pay attention. The things people do in the churches is a reflection of what they trust. Are we together? What a trust. What a trust. So you trust in fun and funfair. So you bring them to your church to come and, in the name of it, we are raising the stars in our church. Who gets falling star? Are we together? The stars of Christianity, Daniel chapter 12. The stars of Christianity 3 are those who win souls and turn many others to righteousness. Those are the stars of Christianity. Not some ye blitics. The stars of Christianity are those, the moment you are involved in bringing another man to the kingdom through the preaching of the gospel, that those are the stars of Christianity. Because stars are bodies that reflect what? The light. Are we together? So you are reflecting the light. God, it speaks of influence. So you don't trust in prayer. You trust in prayer. Pray. Fast. Hallelujah. When you trust in Bible teaching, you don't trust in evangelism. When you trust in evangelism as God's way of saving and healing the earth, you will go out on outreach. And you will be so careful that nothing shall circle your influence. Nothing. Nothing. You will be so careful that nothing blocks your work. So it's not likely you will go on evangelism and you will be showing film. It's not likely you go on evangelism and you will be giving money. Are we together? In fact, many times, even if those things are done from good heart, many times those things now stand against the gospel. Because you have put people's attention on that thing rather than why you came. Are we together? Are we together? You go on a crusade and then what you did throughout that crusade was that you just shared the word for like 10, 15 minutes. Then you claim to have broken yokes and curses. Curses that were never even there. Only you were seeing them. Well, there are times when people just need God's power to free them from demonic afflictions. Then the rest thing you do now, you now give out money. How? People don't need money. People need Jesus. Because money comes and goes, but Jesus stays with you. Are we together? Eternal life stays with you. The Spirit of God stays with you. Money comes and goes. Thank God for money. Thank God for every valuable material things around us. Thank God for them. Are we together? They should increase. It's fine. But that is not what brings the purpose of God. Hallelujah. So, let's get back to our text. I hope that simple exhortation got to you. I hope it's received. So, look at it. The things we do are deliberate. Deliberate. We'll come here and then we're teaching for the next 3 hours on Sunday morning. Deliberate. Said, I don't really buy that idea. I don't really. Then walk out. Are we together? It's deliberate. It's a prayer meeting. I'm praying from morning till. After 4 hours, I want to go and wee. We didn't see you again till the 15th hour. You now came back. Someone now says, how can they be watching me? Is it not between me and God? Is it God that called the prayer meeting? Is it God that called the prayer meeting? Is it God that called the prayer meeting? Are we together? Are we together? You now come back. You miss 8 hours. Welcome. So we close the prayer meeting. Say, brother so and so. And then we do that smiling. Brother so and so, just wait behind. You're blessed. Yeah, so that you can be blessed. What by it our equi? It shows there's a naughtiness in your mind that prayer needs to deal. Say, hey, I can't stand that thing that will not make you to stand in the congregation of holy people to pray that long. We will kill it today. Is it that we see the end of that thing, or that thing sees the end of you? But we don't want that thing to see the end of you. So we want you to see the end of that thing. Oh yeah! I've not trained you guys to pray. It's coming. More is still coming. Oh, we stand at the extreme end of a large field. Oh yeah, I'm not hearing your voice. Can you? Yes. 1 hour. Your voice is going down. You will start again. Oh, you pray in the sun. That is how people do well in the will of God. That's how people do well. Look at this. Look at this. A rugged Christian life. Rugged. You know what is a rugged? Eh? Rugged. When you see wizards and witches, people have given themselves over to the occult. They are rugged people. You know, they won't see touch ones. When you see a wizard wearing suit, go and find out what he did before wearing suit. Are we together? Are we together? Go and see what he did before wearing suit. So, now, we serve the Most High God. See, by nature, we are rugged. The spirit in you is the one that came on Elijah. Are we together? Stand lowly. The spirit in you is the one that what? Came upon Moses. So, look at it. Those guys, we have those texts written so that you can see. Are we together? What is expected when the spirit comes upon a man? Daniel. You see Paul. You see the passion. One of the very first things you see when the Spirit of God comes upon a man is passion. Passion! Yeah, I'm just talking like this one. Are we together? What I call it? Passion! A rugged passion. Look at it. A kind of passion that does not give work rest if the work has given you rest. You deploy willingness and tirelessness to a worthy mission till that work now gives you rest. Are we together? Are we together? Look at him in the four gospels. Preaching everywhere. Preaching. Evangelism. Preaching. 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 Healing. Preaching. Praying. Healing. Preaching. Teaching. Healing. Praying. The rugged Christian life. Are we together? Now there's a kind of activity, lifestyle that produces that rugged life. There's a kind of activity that produces that rugged life. It's a rugged private life. Are we together? Say, yeah, but I work in the bank. Bank you there. So are you the first one to work in the bank? Even with your banking job, are we together? You impute some rugged prayer life. Yeah, but I work in the hospital. Hospital kill you there. Are you the first doctor? Are you the first doctor? Even with that schedule, I know a lot of doctors who are strange believers. I think we say pastors, so I mean strange believers. Are we together? Your profession, your profession, your schooling, your whatever designs the schedule for you. You now design the schedule for yourself too. Are we together? Back to back. That one is what you do for money. This one is what I do for fulfillment. So I will give the work rest. We say our target this week is 50 people. We'll give you rest. I don't care my feelings. My feelings, they come last. You know, feelings can change. Mood can change. Sometimes you want to do something, say, I'll do something today. The moment you wake up the following day, it's like everything just says that you will not do it today. Who cares? Get on with it. Are we together, church? So, when we come around in the church, that's what the church does for you. The church provides an atmosphere for you to be able to do all of those things. Is it clear, church? All right. So let me stop on that trip. So Ephesians 1, everyone. We have quite a number of texts to look at this morning. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right. So it says in verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3, everyone. He says, this is where we stop, right? Okay. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Who took us here, assured us in Ephesians 6:10, that when he says, finally, I showed you finally does not mean finally, right? Right? That finally, you know, it's like saying, upon the strength of all that has been said. Or based on everything that has been said, he says, be strong in the Lord. So you will not understand 6 verse 10 if you don't look at the previous things spoken. You even see, he says, in the power of his might, a word that you are going to trace into chapter 1, verse 19. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Where he says, according to the working of his mighty power. That word mighty power is the same use of words used when he says the power of his might. The word kratos iskous. The word might there, or mighty, is the word iskous. I-S-C-H-U-S. I've shown us that, iskous. And then the word power is the word kratos. Used there. In verse 19 alone, you see power used twice. The first time power was used, the word dunamis. Hallelujah. It says the greatness of his power. That's dunamis. Then now says according to the working of his mighty power. So the second word power is translated iskous. Sorry, kratos. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And I've explained those words to us. So look at verse 3. So it is blessed be God. So we're looking at that word blessed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And I told you that word blessed is a word. What's that word again? Eulowat? Is it eulogio? I'm hearing a lot of ulo, 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 ulo. I'm not hearing the rest. Eulowat? My pen's markers are falling, rather. So you have eulogio, right? Then you have eulogies, eulogia, you have eulogia, are we together? I think it's IA. Then you have eulogitis, are we together? What's that word? Oh? I think that's the word. You have the word eulogio, eulogia, and then you have the word eulogitis. Hallelujah. So those three words were used there now. Don't forget, I told you the importance of observing these words in Bible study. So it says, blessed be the God. That word blessed there is the word eulogitis. We said eulogitis means to be worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Now I told you that word blessed, when it is used, is hardly or never or hardly ever used for a material thing. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So let me take you on the fast trail. The word ill, I explained that to us, is the word well off, right? Alright? Well off. Well off. When you say something is well, good. That's the meaning of the word ill. Or that's what the word ill implies. Ill. And then you have the word logos. Are we together? And logos speaks of what? Speak. Are we together? Or many times it could imply what? Thought. Then you were. The word ill is the word well off. Are we together? So when he says eulogio, it means what? To speak well off. So when he says blessed be God, that means we speak well of God. Hallelujah. I showed you that word well, the word eulogio, blessed, cannot be translated, should not be translated or interpreted as empowered to prosper. A lot of preachers, or a lot of people, have interpreted it as empowered to prosper, to bless. Now, when you say to bless someone, you know, I can give money to someone now and I blessed him, right? Right? But that's not Bible language. That's not Bible language. You know, I can even say, oh, God bless you. God bless you. And that's different from the way the Bible. So I told you something that's a colloquial statement. It's a general statement we made and we've all come to understand. But when we come into the scriptures, we must interpret the scriptures. We must observe what exactly is the Bible saying. Are we together? Are we together? So when it says eulogio, it says to speak well of. Hallelujah. Now the word eulogitis, are we together? The word eulogitis is also similar. It means to be worthy. In other words, to be worthy of the good things. Are we together? That we are saying. So eulogitis means one is worthy of good words. Hallelujah. Worthy of praise. Worthy of thanksgiving. Someone who is worthy. Someone who is entitled to it. Hallelujah. So that's eulogitis. Hallelujah. Eulogia will be the things contained in the sayings, the information. Are we together? Eulogies will be the speaking of it. So can you see? So they are all the same word, actually. Are we together? But one is acting as a noun, adjective, and then the other is acting as a word, a verb. Eulogio will be verb. Eulogia will be the noun, the thing said. Are we together? The qualities. Then qualifying, the one who is worthy, will be eulogitis. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So it means to speak well of God. To speak well or to be worthy. So look at Ephesians 1 quickly. I need your eyes in your Bibles. We're looking at the believer's authority, so just follow me. He says, blessed be the God. So can we say worthy be the God? Huh? Would that be right? Now I need your responses. You write with your hands, you look into your Bible with your eyes, you talk with your mouth. Are we together? The most able to do all that at once. Amen? So, can we say, worthy be the God and Father? Now when it says God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, would that be two people? Would that be two people? No. So God is the what? Is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will that be correct? So when it says blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's not saying two people. He's the same person. God
is the father of what? And that instructs the believer that to us, this is who God is. God will not be what the world calls God. Are we together? God is not what you think God is. God is not what you dreamt that God is. God is not what you feel God is. God is not even what you believe God should be. Hallelujah. God is who He is. You have to find out. You have to have revelation in the scriptures. So, He says, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He is worthy. Hallelujah. And Paul is opening his text. Don't forget. So, He says, worthy is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, that word blessed means to speak well. Is the word eulogio. The first word there. Blessed. Eulogio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then it says, bless us with all the what? Spiritual blessings. What we can call blessings of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's see something. Are you ready? Alright. Let's observe how that word eulogio was here. I think we have a study on that. Blessed as taught by the Spirit, right? Okay, so we won't get a hold on that teaching. But let me just paraphrase a bit. The word blessed, that word eulogio, that's without eulogitis, without eulogia. The word eulogio was used 41 times in the New Testament books of the Bible. By that, I mean from Matthew to Revelation. 41 times. Of the 41 times, 26 times was in the four Gospels. And we're going to see everything. So this Bible study. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew, quickly. Matthew, everybody, now I need you to be fast. I'm going to be asking you questions, so and I need response. If you respond promptly, then we won't take too much time. Are we together? But I'm here to ensure you get it. So if you respond slowly, we'll spend more time. And I will not release you. I'm joking. Hallelujah. Where have we come to today? Hallelujah. 5. Verse 44. Matthew 5:44. Can we read together? Want to go? I say unto you, huh? Love your enemies, huh? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that what? Despitefully use you. And persecute you. It says that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And send rain on the just and on the unjust. Hallelujah. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? So, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is what? How many of you have seen this text or heard this text before? So when he says, be you perfect, what is he referring to? Loving those who does not love you. Simple. That's all. Are we together? So the Bible says, be perfect as God is perfect. You can read that text and fall into heavy, heavy burden and trouble when you don't read it properly. So being perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, how is He perfect? He gives His rain. Observe, He says His rain. His sun, rather. And sends rain to the just and the what? Unjust. So He is not partial and He is all good. That is perfection. His perfection is in His ability to remain good despite other people's unfaithfulness. That is perfection. So He says, you too do the same. That you may be what? He used the word uios, which means reflection. That you may reflect the character of your Heavenly Father. Is it clear, church? I'm not teaching on that, so let's drop it. But you see the word in verse 44, you see the word bless. Now, the very first time you observe that word bless, you observe that it is not material. Are we together? Rather, it is in what? The things you what? You say. He mentions prayer. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He mentions what? Prayer. Are we together? He mentions prayer. In Luke's gospel, let's look at Luke. So, look at it. Can we say in verse 44, love your enemies, speak well of them that curse you? Can we say that? Why? Look at it. Observe, he says curse. And curse is in what? Words. So, he's talking about response of words. A material thing like money, wealth, a cars, jobs, all that is not the context here. So when he says bless, he was not referring to material in this text. Look at Luke's gospel. We have quite a lot of text. In Luke chapter 6, everybody, quickly. I'm going around to ensure everybody's writing. This is church. We must ensure you do that. Ensure you are writing, and I'll be looking to notes. Hallelujah. So look at this. In Luke 6, when I mean teaching, I mean recording. Luke 6, we determine when to release our teachings. In Luke 6, verse 48, Luke chapter 6 and then verse 48. Are we there? Luke 6, 48. Can we read together? Want to go? Founded on the rock. Look at Matthew 14. Or Matthew 15. Look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Verse 36. Rule out the text on Luke 6:48. Just rule it out. It's not in context yet. Just rule it out. We're looking at bless, right? Okay. I'm going to show you how the right text. Matthew 15. I'm careful. Look at this. I'm careful what you have in your notes. Is it clear? Because I know those notes in your hands are teaching materials. Are we together? Not necessarily now or this year or next year. But that's what's in my head. So I'm careful. So you're also careful. Are we together? So ensure you have. You don't have a scanty note. I think you listened to whatever yesterday. You don't have a scanty note. A scanty note is a sign of a scanty Christian living. You go with a full note. Are we together? So just lately, as I teach and I prepare my notes, I'm mindful what you are putting down also. Because majority of my notes, in as much as I prepare notes, but my first set of notes were all my notes I took in church or listening to teachings or being in meetings and all that. So rule that text out. Are we together? In Matthew 15, 36. Is a verse 34 to 36, can we read together? Want to go? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said, seven, and a few little fish. 35, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. 36, and give thanks. And what? Okay, now, he said he gave what? Thanks. Hold your hands there. Look at John 6. Look at John 6. Look at that account. Think of John 6. In verse 11. In verse 11. What does it say? And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it. Did you see that? He gave what? Thanks. Look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14:19. Everybody, can we together? Want to go? And he commanded the multitude to us, sit down. What did he do? He blessed. He empowered the bread and fish to prosper. Does that make any sense? No. So bless does not mean empower to prosper. We saw what bless means. It's give thanks. Right? Is that what we read in Luke? Was that what we read in John? So, Matthew simply saw the same account and Matthew said he blessed. So again, blessed has to do with words. Now, he said he blessed. He said he gave thanks. Look at it. Did Jesus bless the bread? No. He actually did not bless the bread. He didn't say he blessed the bread. No. He blessed God. Now, how can you say Jesus blessed God? Sure, he blessed God because blessed means to speak well of. To give thanks. Hallelujah. So, I don't believe in that thing. After listening to teaching, I don't believe in that thing. He said, so we bless God. How do we bless? But you came the next service, so we bless God. You're confused. Hallelujah. So blessed in that text means to give thanks. It's actually the word eucharistio. Eucharistio is spelled E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S. You have the word charist. Then you have T-E-O, charistio. Eucharistio. Observe in that word E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-E-U-O. Or T-E-O. Are we together? In that word eucharistio, I'll let you see you. In that word eucharistio, you see the word eu. Are we together? Then you see the word charis. Now, charis is a word used for grace. What is freely given? A free gift. To freely give something. To lavish something also. Like to waste in a positive sense. Are we together? To lavish something. To give without restraint. Could also mean charis. So, eu means wealth or good. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Eu means well. It also means good. So when it says eucharistio, it means to give thanks. Hallelujah. To give something good. That refers to honor and reverence. Are we together? So he said he gave thanks. Eucharistio. And then he says he blessed. So blessed means, or eucharistio could mean to respond to others with good words. Or blessed could mean to respond to others with good words. Eulogio, to speak well of others. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Jesus said in Mark 5, that you are not doing differently from the unsaved when you only speak well of those who like you. It says, but you will be like the Father, that even when they didn't like you, are we together? You still spoke well of them. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Okay. Look at Matthew 26. You will see the same thing he did there. At the, what we call the Last Supper. Matthew 26, verse 27. And he took the cup and did what? Give thanks. Did you see that? Eucharistio. He took the cup and gave thanks. That is what Matthew earlier on said. He blessed the bread. So he uses elogio, blessed, and give thanks. Use the word eucharistio. So it means to speak well of, to give benevolently, to give unrestrainedly good words. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. In Mark chapter 8, again, you see, Mark 8, Eucharistio. Eucharistio, Mark 8, and then in verse 6. Mark 8, and then in verse 6. What do we have there? And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took what? Loaves, and gave thanks. The same thing. Eucharistio. Mark 14, 23. Mark 14, 23. Mark 14, 23. Mark 14, 23. He says, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank. Hallelujah. So you see that word Eucharistio, which means to give something good. Hallelujah. It was used to explain when it says Jesus blessed God, to speak well of. So in that text, what is the good thing that Jesus gave out? Words. Hallelujah. Good words. In Matthew 26, look at 21 rather. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. In verse 9. So I think I'm taking you a bit further from what we did in that particular teaching. So it says, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying what? Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the what? Can we say well spoken? We speak well. Well spoken is he that comes in the name of the highest. Well spoken. Again, you observe there's no material benefits here. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed. Would that be giving thanks? Giving thanks. Did he bless the bread? Bread. He spoke well of the bread. He spoke well to the bread. Okay. So when he says blessed, we already see from several other texts that Jesus had that custom. Are we together? Of blessing God. So look at it. He did not bless the food. Bless this food, oh God, for Christ's sake. Where? Did Jesus bless it. That's what I say. Some food, but cannot eat. So can eat, but get. We are food that we can eat. Bless this food, oh Lord. But if you don't think that's what you are pretending, we're pretender. See, I'm singing it. You're not quiet. You're a pretender. Are we together? So, we thought we took that out of blessing food from Jesus. But he never blessed food. He blessed God. Simple. Thank you. Are we together? From Jesus. Are we together? He never blessed the food. He blessed God. He gave thanks to God for the food. Are we together? But will I not need to remove arrow from the food? Arrow. I told you that there are some demons standing on the plate. You know that photography, I think there's this new photography stores. What do you call it? 3D. Is it 3D you call it? That this marker can be bigger than me like this. You have not seen those pictures. So you now see me. Bible is there, but it looks very far. So maybe a demon is just targeting your mouth. You have even carried it from the spoon. So as you bless the food, the demon will just die. Even food offered to idols, Paul said, eat. Asking no questions. Are we together?
Yeah. Don't say things like that. Do you know the kind of adjacent and the spiritual stature of Paul? Paul did not say, I eat, asking no question. He said, you eat, asking no question. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
So, I'm sorry if I busted. I killed some sacred cows. But it's fine. We do that a lot here. So look at Matthew again, 23. Matthew 23, verse 39. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you see it. You shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well spoken. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you what? Well spoken of my father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Did you see that? Why are they inheriting? They are inheriting because they have been what? Well spoken of. Are we together? They are inheriting because what? They have been what? Well spoken of. In Mark chapter 6, verse 41. Mark 6, 41. The first, Mark 6, 41. It says, Mark 6, 41. And when he had taken 5 loaves, okay, he break, and then, blessed, okay. Blessed, the same word there. Blessed, he gave thanks. Are we together? Uh-huh. In Mark 8, verse 7, they had a few small fish, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before him. He blessed, gave thanks. Mark 14:22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed. You see, these are similar accounts, same accounts in the different accounts in the four Gospels. In Mark 11, verse 9, it says, and they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that what? Come in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. This word blessed, the second blessed is the word eulogitis. The first one is the word, in verse 9, is the word eulogio. In chapter 10, verse 16, Mark 10:16, and he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Are we together? Who did he bless? Look at verse 13. Are you all in verse 13, everyone? You must look into your Bibles. You just have to. Are we together? So verse 13, can we read? And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And disciples rebuked those that brought them. 14, everyone. When Jesus saw it, he was not displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Verse 16. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands on them and... So, will it be right to say he empowered them to prosper? He didn't give them any money. So he blessed them means he spoke good words, right? He laid hands on the kids and spoke good words. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. He laid hands on the kids and then he did what? He spoke good words. Hallelujah. So look at Luke 9:16. We saw Luke 6 before. In Luke 9:16, quickly, Luke chapter 9 and then verse 16. He says, then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and broke, are we together? And gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. Now, this looks like he blessed the bread, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? But that was not it. The word bless them is one word. Eulogio. That's the word bless them. Are we together? Are we together? Is the word eulogio. And so, again, that means the them was introduced by who? The translators. I've taught you that, right? The translators have that liberty. Just like anyone today. But they can be right, they can be wrong. But from other accounts, we see that it wasn't the bread he blessed. He gave thanks to God. Are we together? Are we together? In John chapter 12 and then verse 13. John didn't use that word very much. John 12 and then in verse 13. Took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So, the same text we saw in Matthew, Mark, Luke. The triumphant entry, according to... Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let's see something in Luke 1. That word eulogio was used for Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Are you there? I want us all to read. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among what? Women. Blessed. Well spoken. Hallelujah. It's not an empowerment. Are we together? It's an account. To give an account of something. A good account. Well spoken. In verse 42. In verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth had the salutation of Mary, the baby lived in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, what? Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your what? Of your womb. That word blessed, well spoken. So you will never read anywhere where blessed in the Bible means to empower to prosper materially. Nowhere. Hallelujah. When God says blessed, speaking of words. So he speaks of honor and reverence. Hallelujah. Honor and what? Reverence. So money is not implied, neither a material benefit, temporarily or eternal. Neither is a spiritual material blessing implied. A material blessing that needs a converter. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles. How was it used in Acts? Look at Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. In verse 26. Everybody? Acts 3:26. Can we read one to go? Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless. What is the blessing? In turn, every one of you is iniquities. If you look at the context, the blessings is forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. The blessing is the forgiveness of sin. Again, in this case, it refers to forgiveness of sins in the gospel, words brought to us, or the forgiveness of sins brought to us via words. And in that, we are brought into a consciousness of the good accounts that God has put us in. But again, it is not referring to a material thing. The blessing here will be forgiveness of sins, which is the work of Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's move on past the book of Acts. We're coming back to Acts. But we're looking at eulogio, right? Right? So look at the epistles. In Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 12, everybody, verse 14. It says, bless them which what? Persecute you, bless, and what? Curse not. Now, you're going to examine, you're going to observe something. Now, I told you, okay, let me just drop that. Okay, let me just mention. You know, I told you that Jesus taught from where? The Old Testament. Now, we read Matthew 5, right? What is usually referred to as the Beatitudes, right? The Beatitudes. Blessed are this and this and this and that. And we're going to see that because you see the word blessed occurs severally there too. Even though that word is not eulogio. That was the second word I showed you last week, the word Makarios, which means fortunate. Fortunate. We're going to get back there. But you observe something that Jesus taught from the Old Testament, the Sermon on the Mount was from the Old Testament. So what Jesus was ruling out in what we read in that paragraph of the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, is, and even into 6 and 7, is interpretation of the Old Testament. In other words, Jesus teaches love work as God's perfection in the ministry of Moses. So it's showing us that God's perfection is that God did not destroy Israel. Are we together? Even when they pitched themselves against him, he didn't destroy them. He didn't destroy them. Are we together? Are we together? And let me just open your mind a little bit to this fact, because I'm still coming there to explain. When he says to bless those who persecute you, are we together? Are we together? Who said, oh? In the Old Testament, did God, if you don't pay attention, you'll miss what I'm saying. Did God always bless those who stood against him? So, you are wondering. I know you are checking your Bible brain. On the church mind. That's foolish. You're checking your Bible brain. You're looking. Then you see scenarios in the Old Testament, are we together, that looks as though God was in the midst of his people dishing. Are we together? To the nations who stood against Israel. And then you wonder, what happened there? I've explained some things to you that you have a lot of angel ministry, right? Right? Which some of them were God's angels, some of them were not God's angels. So, I remember some time ago someone asked me, he says, if you say the angels did this, then that means God is. I said, no, don't get it wrong. So I said something and it was short. I said, angels do not always do what God wants. They was like, what did you just say? I said, simple. Hallelujah. A very good example of an angel who withstood God was Satan. Are we together? And it wasn't Satan alone. Later in Genesis, are we together? Genesis 10, Genesis 6, we're going to see, it says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And that term, sons of God, is used for angels, supernatural beings. And then we saw the fruit of what they did, that was against God's plan on the earth.
So there are angels on the earth. Are we together? Definitely all angels are on earth. Are we together? So there are angels on the earth who are carrying out activities opposing to God's desire. We call them demons. Are we together? Devils. Amen. I said amen. We call them devils. Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
So I've explained to you. Now, that is not all to it. That's not all to it. Because there are instances where you will see God's angels. For example, Michael was involved in the battle or warfare. Are we together? Together. In fact, we see, though this is quite a different scenario, Belshazzar. Are we together? In Daniel 5, Daniel 6. You see Belshazzar, and he takes all the vessels of the temple, and he will use it to feed his mistresses, concubines, and governors and princes. Then the hand of a man came and then began to write. That was an angel, simple. It was an angel. Are we together? Even though his eyes were open, he saw a vision. Hallelujah. Take care, mene oprasu. That was an angel. Because angels have the ability to make themselves visible to man. Are we together? It's rare, but they have the ability to make themselves visible. So, but you go see instances, you also see in Joshua, where Michael came and then he stood by them to fight the wars. Then we see very chiefly the event of Moses, hallelujah, in Egypt. And some other instances, against David, against the Israelites, and the nations, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Gigazites, and all of that, the Amorites, and all of the Philistines, and all that. We see the hand of Elisha out together with the king of Israel against the Philistines, Hezekiah, and all that. Praise the Lord. So, are there times when God was involved in the wars of Israel? Yes. Hallelujah. So, doesn't that contradict God's nature of always being loving to everybody? It doesn't. Are we together? Are we together? All right. If you don't understand what I'm saying, just keep coming. I know those who what I'm saying is for, they can pick everything I'm saying perfectly. So are there times where God himself was involved in the wars of Israel? Yes. Does that contradict him being loving and all that? No. Rather, look at this. Many times, are you with me? Are you with me? Let me just say this. Many times, what adjustment you and I need to make is to understand, look at me, Bible times and Bible language. In understanding Bible terms and Bible language, one of the things that will become clear to you is many of the things you call evil today were not evil in Bible time. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? The issue is this, and I was listening to my pastor and he said the same thing. The issue is this, many times I think that the Bible should be seen in the what? In the light of my today. So I want to conform the scriptures, the view of the scriptures, into my current worldview. And it's not always right. I will miss out on what is being said there. So the Bible just needs to be studied on its own, perfectly understood on its own. Are we together? Then I can see how it teaches me to
to walk in the plans of God in my own world today. I will drop that trill there for now. Hallelujah. Are we together? So look at this. Because someone say, oh, that's a contract. So if we say that God was involved in the wars of Israel, and then where else we say, when Jesus came, we saw God clearly. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? Then I showed him, I said, Jesus also took cords. So is it likely God took cords in the Old Testament? Oh, definitely. Are we together? But not like those cords Jesus took. In a more figurative sense. Is it likely he took cords in Egypt? Oh, definitely. The wars, Jericho? Oh, definitely. Are we together? Are we together? Look at this. The work of Bible teaching. Look at it. If you don't understand that, I was sitting in my study and I was just thinking. I think I was just sitting and thinking for close to 30 minutes. I was just thinking. If you don't understand that bridge, praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. One of the things that will not be clear is, now, for example, the Bible says to love my enemies. What if someone is out to destroy me? And I do something, I would to stay him back, and it hurt him. Have I acted contrary to God's word that says my enemy? In fact, he even said to feed my enemy and to give him water. How? Are we together? Are we together? So, you're going to have clashes like that if we don't really, really study the scriptures out. So, when it says love your enemy, we'll go to the Old Testament. Because we see the one who says love your enemies, and he was in the midst of wars too. So, what exactly is he saying? Are we together? And let me say this also. Look at me. There are some explanations that you will readily just receive and run with because you have a shallow study life. You have a shallow study life. But by the time you get across, you begin to study, you come across certain texts that provoke some thoughts. You'll be like, oh my, are you sure that explanation? Are you with me? Are you with me? So we just have to study the Bible. Now, we have said that Bible matters is not yes or no. Are we together? But somewhere, somehow, what we did, look at this, we only took a step away from what? Yes or no. And then we feel comfortable in a seemingly little study life. Because it makes us better. We're no more ignorant. But that doesn't mean it's enough. You don't go a mile away from ignorance. You dip your head and your life into the river of study. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? So, don't worry. Next couple of weeks and months, we'll be revolutionizing what you have seen. So you're going to see. And it's going to make you to love the Lord more. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Someone even said, it's demons using them. They are not the ones. So I pray against the demon. I don't pray against them. But you keep saying every strong man. Is demon man? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, look at Romans 12. We'll do a bit of this. We'll go for today. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Everybody? He says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and what? Curse not. This is taken again from what we call the Beatitudes. Look at it. What does he mean by bless them? In verse 17, he explains what it means. He says, to recompense to no man evil for evil. He says, to provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as the light in you live peaceably with all men. Then he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. What? How would you say avenge not yourselves? Paul, have you ever been in a serious issue? Paul, have you ever been? He says, avenge not yourself. He says, give place unto wrath. In other words, don't give place. That's just the translation. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. Paul, you mean I should feed my enemy? If he thirsts, give him drink. Really? Maybe a cold one. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, when it says coals of fire on his head, you know, we have translated this as, I'll heap coals of fire on his head means I'm going to destroy him. So, when we use it in our service, he said, don't worry. The Bible says that when they're against you, you'll be doing good to them, that you are putting coals of fire on their head. And coals of fire here, are we together? Is what the audience understood that most likely you don't understand. Amen. Now, Rome, are we together, was a place where Rome is a place that usually gets very cold and snowy when it's winter. Are we together? When it's winter. So usually, when it's winter and everywhere is cold, there is this special clothing that people usually wear. Not everybody could afford, but there's this special clothing. The clothing is like a garment. Are we together? A garment. And then the garment has those kind of clothes you used to cover your head like this. Like these cardigans that you have. Huh? Is that hoodie? That we call hoodie? Okay. So something like that. I don't know much. So that's what you call. So hoodie, right? But the clothing is designed something like that, but it's a more sophisticated clothing. Are we together? The clothing is designed such that, look at it, it has a sector or a place in it where, in order to keep you hot, are we together? Coals of fire, coals, can be stored at the upper part of the clothing. So the idea is that the heat of the coals passes down to your body. Now the place is so cold. The clothing materials are so made in such a way that it does not hurt you. It does not burn you. Are we together? But it's just to provide heat. So when he says you will be heaping coals, you heap coals of fire on his head, he gives that same scenario within that environment where they put heaps of coals. Are we together? In that chamber of the clothing they were wearing, so that they can provide warmth to them. So he's not talking about destruction. Are we together? He's talking about care. He says in verse 21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So he says, do not recompense evil to any man. That is clear. Don't plot against people. Are we together? Are we together? Don't plot against people. Amen. I said amen. Don't plot against people. Hallelujah. Now observe. Observe. When it says don't plot against people, he didn't say don't catch a thief.
Now if you go pick up a thief, you have to plot. Isn't it? You have to. You have to devise means. Yeah, I'm just staying in my place. Exactly, that's what he's saying. It doesn't mean don't defend yourself. Hallelujah. Are we together? It doesn't mean don't what? Defend yourself. I didn't go out to look for evil. Are we together? But it doesn't mean don't preserve your territories. Don't preserve your territories. So you observe majority of the warfare in the Old Testament. Are we together? Or for example, you have a military, whatever, and then you have some people coming, and then you have soldiers fighting back. I used to not disciple closely, but I used to have, I think, one or two, three people in the Nigerian military that I've taught over the years. And I think they may not be in communication for a long time and all that. That was some years back, 5-6 years back. So, and all that. So you have people. You have church members in the war front. And someone comes, you shoot at them. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Is God using the gun? Are we together? I didn't say go by guns. I didn't say go by God. But I say, oh, Pastor, I'm going on paintball, and I'm going on some shooting training. For what? I'm just preparing for the evil day. No. Our territories are kept by the name of Lord Jesus. Are we together? Dwelling standard. And we also pray that our troops are preserved of God. To be doing what? To be returning. Return it. They take cock here. Return it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You say, what is Pastor saying this morning? I'm saying to walk in love. I'm saying to walk in love. So how is walking in love shooting? Well, we're going to have to study the Bible together. Hallelujah. So, you don't go looking for trouble, creating destruction, imagining evil. Are we together? Taking on things that don't belong to you. But it doesn't mean not to defend yourself. Not to keep your territories. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Israel had soldiers. Are we together? So, and look at this. God permits that. Now, that is not his perfect will. Is it clear? That's not his perfect will. No. His will is not destruction of human lives. So, you're going to avoid destruction. You're going to avoid defamation. Are we together? You're going to avoid all that. But look at this. In an environment where if care is not taken, you might be a recipient of that. Now, if it's possible, when he says, do all within your power to be at peace, would also include moving away. Did you see that? But when it's absolutely necessary, there is nothing wrong in you defending yourself.
Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Including being armed. Oh my.
Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Hallelujah. So he says, bless them that curse you. Again, this is Paul's teaching from the Old Testament. Without having the book of Matthew, Paul renders the same thing Jesus rendered from the Old Testament. He says to bless them. And in bless, again, the word eulogio. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12 and 16. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12. He says, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. This is a persecution for the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Persecution for the gospel. So look at me. There is a persecution for the gospel. There is a destruction that is not because of the gospel.
Are we together? Are we together?
And you must draw the line. So Romans 12, Paul deals with persecution. He says you will not avenge them, those who persecute you.
Are we together?
So look at this. When Jesus came in Matthew 5, and he says, love your enemies. What is he referring to? It simply means, now, the very first thing is, who are the audience of Jesus? Those who have come together to hear him, right? So, he's teaching his own disciples, or what we can refer to as his own church, howbeit before the resurrection. He's referring to his own community of disciples, are we together? How to respond to people, look at me, who pitch themselves against them because they were students or believers in Jesus. So whosoever treat you, are we together? Relates to you adversarially because of your faith in me, he just love them.
Hallelujah.
He's not talking about enemies that comes to destroy a country. The country should love them. No. So you cannot claim that even Jesus said we should love our enemies is why you are not fighting the Boko Haram. You are one of them. You are being stupid.
Are we together? Are we together?
So he is saying that because you are my disciples or my church,
are we together?
Whosoever, because of your followership of me, wants to oppose you, he says, don't oppose them. So it's ecclesiological. They say Paul is talking to a church. And look at this. Paul is talking to a church under the Roman government. The Roman government who was opposing Judaism.
Are we together?
And also Christianity. Because the Christians would not worship Caesar. They won't practice idolatry.
Are we together?
So when it says to not recompense evil, it's in that context of persecution for the faith. It's not talking about destruction of lives or properties or government or order. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16 now. 1 Corinthians 4. What does it say in 16? It says, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of what? Of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's 1 Corinthians, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 17. So when you see the word bless, you will not see material things there. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 17. What does he say? He says, "For thou verily give thanks well, but the other is not edified." Hallelujah. The word "give thanks" is the word eulogio. Very precise. Eulogio. Give thanks well. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In verse 16, it says, "Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall it occupy the room of the unlearned, say, may at the giving of thanks, saying, understandeth not what thou sayest? How shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned, when thou bless with the Spirit?" The word "bless" there again. So you see, material things is not implied. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 9, Galatians 3, 9, it says, "So then, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Are blessed, eulogio, well spoken of. Now, when he says they are blessed with faithful Abraham, the question that should come to your mind is, what is the blessing of Abraham? Are we together? If you read from verse 5, it says, "He therefore that worketh, that ministereth the Spirit, worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness." This is the blessing of Abraham. Righteousness. In verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with" what? Abraham. "In thee shall" what? "All nations be" what? "Blessed." So the blessing of Abraham, look at verse 10. "For as many of us as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is because everyone that continued not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." He says, "It is evident the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth those things shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being for us, for it is written, cause is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ." What is the blessing of Abraham? "That we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Faith. It's not a material thing, but the Spirit of God. So the blessing of Abraham refers to the Spirit. Are we together? How that we are saved through faith. So we share the same faith of Abraham, and since we share the same faith of Abraham, we are partakers of the blessing of Abraham. He says the gospel was preached to Abraham, that in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He speaks from Genesis chapter 12. If we look at Genesis chapter 12, what God told him, he says, "I will bless," verse 2, "those who bless you, and I will curse them that curse you." The word "curse" there has to do with reject, abandon. "I will abandon, I will put aside those who abandoned you." And he says to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you." And the word "bless" there, from the word "barak," a word we're going to observe. Bless, which means to reverence, to honor. So God is saying to Abraham, "I will honor those who honor you. I will abandon those who abandon you." Now, you will not understand that until you situate that statement in context. Who was Abraham? Abraham was the one who has been tasked with the duty of taking the promise of salvation, God saving power, family of God. Are we together? The message of a nation of God. God's nationhood. Hallelujah. To all the earth. So Abraham is a preacher, a prophet. So to honor and receive Abraham means to believe his message. Are we together? To reject Abraham will mean not to believe his message. So on that note, God said, "Those who honor you, I will honor." In other words, those who receive your ministry as my prophet,
with my message, those who receive your ministry as my spokesman, just like he did with Moses, with Noah. We see Noah spoken about in Peter and then also in Jude. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So those who receive your ministry, like Jeremiah, Isaiah, and other prophets, I will also receive them. In other words, the promise in what I have given you to go into all the nations belongs to those who receive you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So that is what it means when it says, I will bless those who bless you. The blessing, the promise rather, the promise in the things that I have given to you to say, the blessing, the promise will be fulfilled on the behalf of those who receive you. What about those who curse you, which means to reject you, to abandon you? Hallelujah. He says, I will reject them, I will abandon them. I will reject them in their unbelief. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We will find this in the preaching of the gospel, Mark 16:15. Preach the gospel, he that is saved, he that believes shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. So that rejection, that curse, that damnation, that destruction, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that perishing, that curse, I will curse them that curse you, that cursing, that perishing, is similar to the same thing that happened to Eve. Are we together? In the day that thou eatest of that food, thou shalt surely die. Did you see that? Did you see that? So, death, curse, damnation, destruction, chaos, refers to the same thing. What is it referring to? The state that a man brings upon himself by rejecting life. Are we together? Are we together? So, when he says, I will curse them that curse you, it is not God actively cursing. It is that man holding to curse since he rejected blessing. Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get the church? If I reject life, I held on to death. If I reject food, I held on to hunger. If I rejected healing, I've held on to sickness. If I reject eternal life, I've held on to damnation. So it is not God actively cursing, destroying, cursing, killing, damning people, condemning people. It is man condemning himself by choosing not to receive what God offers. Why? Because what God offers is the answer to his state. But when he rejects what God offers, he condemns himself. He relegates himself. Are we together? To that condition. Praise the Lord forevermore. I say praise the Lord forevermore. So the blessing of Abraham, we'll see in Romans chapter 4. Paul explored the blessing of Abraham. Again, teaching from Genesis. In Romans chapter 4. And then in verse 1. He says, what shall we say that Abraham our father, as partaken to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. Or was he had the scripture? Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Oh, so the blessing of Abraham is righteousness through faith. Verse 4. Now to him that walketh is the reward reckoned not of grace. Now to him that walketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 6. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man. The word blessedness in this text is makarios, not eulogio. The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Did you see that? So when he says, I will bless them that bless you, the blessing refers to men being counted righteous before God without their works. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Without their efforts. Men being accounted acceptable before God, not on the basis of their good works. Glory to God forevermore. So he says, blessed is the man, fortunate, Makarios. Fortunate is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why? Because he has believed. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. He says, commit this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also.
For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Then he says, that was even in uncircumcision. So that he will be the father of both circumcision or circumcision. Again, circumcision or circumcision is used to just another word to render Jew or Greek, but in faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So in Galatians 3 verse 14 down to verse 16, we see that the blessing that God gave to Abraham is found in his seed, in his son. It's the promise of forgiveness of sins, hallelujah, in the spirit. Forgiveness of sins, righteousness through faith, through the indwelling of the spirit. Hallelujah. Again, when we look at Mark 14, in Mark 14, verse 31, Luke 1, 68, Romans 1, 25, Romans 9, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 31, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 31, Ephesians 1, verse 3, James 3, verse 9, and 1 Peter 1, verse 3, we will see the word eulogitis used in those texts. Eulogitis. Hallelujah. I showed you that that word eulogitis also does not refer to a material benefit. Hallelujah. And one thing about material benefit is that it is temporal, corruptible. Are we together? Not eternal. It refers to spiritual, eternal of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we see the word eulogitis also. I gave you the text, right? So go over the text. Mark 14:31, Luke 1:68, Romans 1:25, Romans 9:5, 2 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 11:31, Ephesians 1:3, James 3 verse 9, and 1 Peter 1 and then verse 3. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. So in Ephesians 1 again, look at Ephesians 1. Let me take you a bit further. Maybe we might explore this text next week before Ephesians 1. That word blessed, okay, I think I showed you last week that that word was taken from Genesis, the Genesis word, right? 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 Okay. Genesis, that will be Genesis chapter 1, isn't it? In verse what? 20, is it 26? Is it 26? What is in 22? And God bless them. So 22. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Genesis 1, 22. Amen? We have the word blessed. And then now, when it was used for man, we find it in Genesis 1, 28. Hallelujah. That word is the word barak. Let me give it to you. It was used in Genesis 1, verse 22 and verse 28. These are texts for you to go over during the week. Is it clear? Genesis 2, verse 3. Genesis 5, verse 2. Genesis 9, verse 1 and verse 26. Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. 12, verse 2 and 3. Genesis 14, verse 19 and 20. Genesis 17, verse 16 and 20. Genesis 18, verse 18. 22, verse 17 and 18. It was used, barak, in Genesis 24, verse 1. Verse 11. Verse 27. 31. 35. 48. 60. Look at me, church. None of these instances implies material things. Are we together? Because let me show you. When Paul said, blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You and I know, the moment we read that text, where does your mind go to? Genesis 1, 26, 28. So Paul is teaching from that text, combined with what? Genesis 12, what he said to Abraham, all the nations. Hallelujah. Paul has taught that the nations that will be blessed, you know, he says all the nations of the earth. Now, all the nations of the earth, those who believe, isn't it, shall be blessed. Indeed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Are we together? So there will be men in Abraham who are blessed, and they will be all over the earth. And then one characteristic of those is faith. Men of faith. He says, we share the same faith with Abraham. We that are of faith, same faith with Abraham, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's what he said. Hallelujah. So you're going to see Genesis 1, 26 to 28, Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15. Hallelujah. Even Genesis chapter 14, when Melchizedek spoke to Abraham, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, blessed be God of Abraham. Are we together? So when you see Paul saying we are blessed, Paul is teaching from Genesis. So we're going to observe what was the blessing. It's called the blessing of Abraham. What was the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham was not money. So you see that word Barak, that's why I'm giving you those texts. Genesis 25, in verse 11, 26, verse 3, verse 4, verse 12, verse 24, and verse 29. Barak. Now, we're going to do, as you go through that text, note detailedly how many of these instances refers to a material thing. Are we together? Are we together in all these texts? Genesis 27 verse 4. Genesis 27 verse 4. Verse 7. 10. 19. 23. 25. 27. 29. 30. 31. 33. 34. 38. And verse 41. Now you and I know that means you read the entire chapter. Right? Okay. Genesis 28, verse 1 and 3, verse 6 and 4. 14. Genesis 28, verse 1 and 3, verse 6 and 14. Genesis 30, verse 27 and verse 30. Genesis 31, verse 55. Genesis 32, verse 26, verse 29. Genesis 35, verse 9. You're also going to see instances where Isaac is blessing Jacob and it was not material. Then you see instances where Jacob is blessing Manasseh and Ephraim and it's not material. Then you're going to see one instance where someone said that God had blessed another, so he has many cattle and goats and sheep. In that instance, it was simply Eliezer's statement concerning Abraham. Are we together? Abraham himself knew that the blessings of God was not the money and all of these things. Majority of what he got through falsehood and lying. Abraham. Are we together? He lied to two kings. Now, when you have successfully deceived two kings, you are like another hush puppy. Are we together? Are we together? Now, not in the illegality of the guy, but in what he seemed to. Do you get it? Money. I said, hallelujah. If you don't know who that is, please don't forget that I mentioned it. Such a person should not even occur in our teaching. Are we together? Are we together? So, he successfully deceived two kings. And there was even a supernatural terror that was added to it. That was a God that had come and said, you know they fear? You know they see face? Are we together? So he must have just pumped out much resources. Cattle, sheep, goat, silver, gold, and all that. Men servant, maid servant. I did that twice with Abimelech too. But you find Eliezer saying that God has blessed my Lord. Are we together? My master. I use the word master. He had blessed my master. And that was the only instance. Only instance. And that wasn't even the words of the one who is blessed. The one who is blessed knew his blessings. Are we together? Were spiritual. Two things. He knew his blessings were spiritual. But he knows it is to his account that it is going to happen in the future. He knew. Genesis 28, verse 1 and 3. Have I given you that? Huh? Have I given you 39, verse 5? Genesis 39, verse 5. Have I given you? Genesis 47. Have I given you Genesis 39, verse 5? Who is saying yes? Who is saying no?
35 verse 9, then 39 verse 5. Hallelujah. Thank you. Genesis 47 verse 7 and 10. Genesis 48, verse 3, verse 9, verse 15, verse 16, and verse 20. Verse 3, verse 9, verse 15, verse 16, and 20. Genesis 49, verse 25 to 28. Is the word Barak. You can use your concordance as well. Hallelujah. So you check how many is material. And this material, are we together? Or how many is material acquisition? Are we together? Now, this material, Genesis, is it clear? So, this book of Genesis is a foundational material to everything taught in the entire books of the Bible. Is it clear? So, we're going to see. Someone say, oh, but what about 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1? I say, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1, look at it. He says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you labor in his store as God has prospered him. Say, oh, what about that? God has prospered him. I showed him that word God is italicized. That completely changes what the writer was saying. The writer was not saying God prospered. It should have been read is as he has prospered, not as God has prospered him. What exactly are you saying? Keep listening. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But look at this. Every writer of the Bible removed God from the equation of people having money. Every writer. God is not responsible for anybody's wealth. Does he want us to have ocean? That's a dull question. That's a dull question. That's a dull question. Does he want us to have shares? That is why he puts things on the earth. Minerals. Are we together? The earth, the soil, discoveries, mineral resources. He wants you to have. What exactly are you saying, sir? Keep listening. Hallelujah. So you look at all of those texts in Genesis. Are we together? Give me some 15, 20 minutes more of your time. Is it clear? Okay. So we're going to have, so you're going to go through all these texts in Genesis. As you go through all these texts in Genesis, cross-reference it with Galatians 3, Galatians 4. And cross-reference it with Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 5 to 7, 8, Romans chapter 4 to chapter 8. Cross-reference that with Hebrews chapter 5 to Hebrews chapter 7. So we find out that God is outside the equation that makes men wealthy on the earth today. Rather, are we together? What happens many times that people are not able to decipher is that, look at this. Many times, the fact that God is with you, are we together? Are we together? And you know his will is for you to have. Are we together? Are we together? Will drive you in the natural to achieve some things. That's it. And the fact that we also have a ministry to finance will give you that confidence, that boldness, to legally and legitimately, honestly, work. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So does that mean that nobody is wealthy because he's a Christian? Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Oh, very sure. Nobody is wealthy because, and the reason why he's wealthy is because he's a Christian. So there's no money for me to inherit in Christ? Well, maybe the currency has not been created. But sure not dollars. That is not naira. What exactly are you saying, sir? Keep listening. Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah. So what does God do about lack? Oh, he meets needs. Are we together? Are we together? He works miracles to meet needs. But he just said he does not make people wealthy. Yeah. That means you have English problem. He meets needs. Hallelujah. He does not make people what? Wealthy. That would be passion. But he will meet what you call needs. Is it clear? Is it clear? Now, many times, are you with me? Because if we don't teach God's word properly, see, you must not be afraid of God's word being taught properly. So I say, so where is this teaching leading us into? It's not leading us anywhere your stupid brain is thinking. It's simple. There are a whole lot of things taught in God's word. Are we together? That produces healthy Christian living. That ensures you have material things. Are we together? Are we together? So don't hold on to this teaching of he said God does not prosper people. God is not the one that prospers people. As though it's that one bone that you have for 1 year to eat, and they are about to collect it from you. There are no serious students across the scriptures. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's Bible teaching. Part of God's way of having is you treating people well. But you have abandoned treating people well and being reasonable. Treating people well. Being respectable. Being honorable. Are we together? Because you feel, my God, my God, my God, my God. If you like, deny me something. God is going to calm your nerves down. Are we together? God's system of supplying. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? It's clear from the scriptures. You're going to work hard. And what you also work hard for. It's just common sense. Are we together? Are we together? Now, God's word teaches you not to have, teaches and strengthens you not to have bad habits that destroys your money. Or not to have bad habits that destroy your relationships. That tells them. Did you see that? So you feel like, the moment we explain that God does not make wealthy, we have removed everything, God will not be poor. So, you are the one that is badly taught and discipled. But God meets needs. Praise the Lord. So go over those texts. Is it clear? Is it clear? Look at Ephesians quickly. Let's see something again. Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. So, does God want me to have? Is he responsible for what is in my account? No. Simple. Does God want me to have? Yes. Has he put things in place for me to have? Yes. Will he further put things in place for me to have? Yes. But is he responsible for what is in my account? No. And that must not make you to teach a false doctrine. Where people are now running to church because they want to prosper materially, then you are not raising believers. No. That's not the ministry of Christ. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? So you look at the word bless. One of the words you look at again is the word barak. I've given you that word barak, right? Yeah. Another word you look at as you read on, you look at the word riches. When it says riches, you know we have seen blessed, right? Nothing material. You look at riches. In fact, let's look at it. Let's look at riches. Riches is the word plutus. I think that was used 22 times.
Plotus, P-L-O-T-U-S, was used. That it was used 3 times in the 4 Gospels, and then 19 times in the Epistles. 3 times in the 4 Gospels. We see that in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at our text. Let me just stretch you guys a bit and then we'll close. Matthew 13. Are you there? Matthew 13. In Matthew 13 verse 22. I'm looking for... Is it 22? Yes. Look at what he calls it. He calls, what did he call it? Deceitfulness of what? Riches. That was the first time he said that word, riches. And he was talking about, what is my deceitfulness of riches? What is not of value before God? Compared to what God offers. What deceives? It gives a false hope. He's saying that when you are confident because your bank account is full, you are having a false hope. That's what he's saying. You are having a false hope. There's a stronger hope, an assurance. Stronger than that false assurance is the assurance of salvation. Are you with me? A false assurance. It does not even buy you an extra day. Money is not bad, but you must know its place. It doesn't buy you an extra day. That's why I see some people who have trusted so much in money. Anytime you observe that their conduct has changed, just know it. They have received transfer. The conduct to change. See, you have a false confidence. Is a fake confidence, because money is not the real deal of life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There's what we call the real deal. Praise the Lord. It's a fake confidence. It's what we call the real deal. The real deal. So the real deal of life is eternal life. The love of God. The will of God. Are we together? And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Jesus said, see, money will always come. Jesus said that. It will come. It comes and goes. It will come. But you must seek something. It's pursue. So the riches that the believer is told to pursue, hallelujah, are the riches of God. You see that word in Mark 4. The same thing. Mark 4, verse 19. Deceitfulness of riches. Hallelujah. It speaks of the material things of this world. In Luke 8, 14 also. The same thing. Parable of the sower. Material things of this world are called deceitful riches. Look at what the Spirit of God calls riches. Observe, we have been looking at the epistles on Thursdays, right? Right? So if there have been our sessions on Thursdays, you have observed, I explained the epistles, right? The Spirit account, isn't it? Okay. What should be seen? Or how what should be seen should be seen? In Romans chapter 2, let's look at that. I'll just close. Are we together? Look at Romans chapter 2. In verse 3. All thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering?
not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So, what is the riches of God in verse 4? His goodness, His forbearance, His what? His long suffering. He's saying that what God has so much to lavish is what he just said. Because that's the meaning of riches. Plutus. You see that? Did you get that, church? Look at Romans 9. Romans 9. In Romans 9, verse 23. It says in verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. So the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy in Romans 9 refers to the mercy of salvation. Those who have received salvation, partakers of God's mercy. So he calls salvation being made available to man the riches of God's glory. So the riches of God's glory in Romans 9 refers to salvation. Salvation. Intangible things. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 11, and then verse 12 and verse 33. Romans 11 verse 12 was used 2 times in verse 12. It says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world. You see that? And when it refers to the riches of the world, by the time you read in context, it was talking about the blessing of God to the world. Look at from verse 10, it started chapter 10 rather, from chapter 10, it says, my heart desire to God and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Did you see that? Salvation. He now says, I bear them zeal, record, that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Why? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ, the end of the law, arises to everyone that believeth. So Moses described the blessing of the man. So he goes on and on and on. Now look at verse 16. Are you there? Verse 16. What did I say? He says, but they have not all what? Obeyed the gospel. And in context, we're referring to who? The Jews. Disobedient Jews. Did you see that? Disobedient Jews. They have not all had obeyed the gospel. Because Isaiah said, we have believed that report. So faith comes by hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, the sound went in all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. That's preaching. The message went everywhere. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation I will anger you. This is God's word to a disobedient Israel. Disobedient to the gospel. He says, for Isaiah is very bold, verse 20. And said, I was found on them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Who is this referring to? Other nations aside from Israel. Are you with me? In other words, those I came to were misbehaving. But even those that did not seek me, are we together, has now found me. In other words, Israel, rather than receive God, who had proclaimed himself as their God, they rejected him. They are rejecting him, are we together, now somewhat became like a blessing. Are you with me? To other nations that embrace God. Observe, that's what we find Paul doing many times. He would go to the Jews, right, and preach the gospel. When they persecute him and send him away, he will now go towards the Gentiles. In fact, there were times where Paul told them, he says, I came to you. He said, but now that you have received your belief, he said, your blood is on your neck, we will go now to the what? To the Gentiles. That was what now led to the churches like Colossae, Galatians, Rome. Even Rome was a Gentile nation. Are we together? These were non-Jews. So he's saying that even the non-Jews have now received the gospel. The gospel has now become a blessing to them. Because you guys were misbehaving, you were rejecting the gospel. We have taken it out and have believed it. Are we together? Are we together? So that's exactly what Paul is saying. So he comes into verse 21 of chapter 10. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands, a disobedient people, a gainsaying people. Did you see that? He was talking about unbelief to the gospel. So that's what battered chapter 11. Has God cast away his people? He says, no, God actually didn't cast away his people. He says, for I'm also an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, Paul is saying the fact that I'm saved means God did not cast away what? The Jews. Did you see that? Saved and called. Verse 2. God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Foreknew there means they were at the forefront of his plan of salvation. Even before he carried it out. He says, what you know what the scripture said of Elijah, how we make intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophet, they have digged down thy altars. Are we together? Are we together? So you will read that. That's what you are to read into verse 6. He says, and if grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it's works, no more of grace. Otherwise, it's no more works. Verse 7. What then? Israel had not obtained that which he seek for, but the election had obtained it, and the rest were what? Were blinded. In other words, what does it matter? Israel has not obtained what he seeks for. He's seeking for righteousness. But observe what he said in chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. He says they are seeking for righteousness by their own works rather than believing. Does that make sense to you? So he says that, Israel has not what? Obtained what he seeks for, but the election was has obtained it. Now, when he says election has obtained it, wrong translation. Election, what? There should be elected. The elected has obtained it. And the elected, or the elect, eklektos in the Greek, is a word that implies those who believe. Hallelujah. Those who receive that sacrifice are called the elect. So the elected, or the elect, what they called election, should have been elect. The elect has obtained it. Are we together? And the rest blinded. The rest will refer to what? Those who did not believe, even amongst the Jews. Verse 8. According as it is written, God had given them the spirit of what? Slumber. Eyes that they should not see. Is he Isaiah again? Now, if I explain this text to you on Thursdays. Okay. Look at verse 9. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, a stumbling block, a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow their head backward. Verse 11. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the world. So what is the context? Salvation, right? To the Gentile world. Because the Jewish world rejected it. Look at the next thing. To provoke them to what? Jealousy. So when they say the blessing of the gospel coming upon Gentiles, they will embrace it. Why? Because it was even through their lineage that God will bless the whole earth. Did you see that? Now look at the next verse, everybody. Verse 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them that are what? Of my flesh. What does it mean by my flesh there? Jews, right? That I might save some. For if the cutting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? But life from the dead. For if the first will be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, these are illustrations. So look into verse 19. Everybody, can we read together? That we say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. You know this illustration, right? So those who disobeyed, that will come in. In other words, what they were doing against the gospel has turned to your advantage. So in... Now, who is he teaching? Is he teaching the Jews or the Roman church? So he's telling them, hold what you have. Are we together? So he's exhorting them to take the mission of the gospel seriously. Are we together? Look at the next verse. Verse 20. Well, because of what? Because of what? They were what? And thou standest what? Be not, but... Fear there means reverence. Hold on to what you have. Don't do with levity. Now look at verse 21, everybody. For if God spared not the branches, take lest he will not spare thee also. What does he mean by that? If God will not reduce the standard of faith for the Jews, even though through them the ministry of the gospel came, how much more are you unbelievers if you are unbelieving? Are you with me? So the next verse, behold, therefore, the goodness and what? Severity of God. So the goodness and severity of God is not a teaching on how God is able to destroy. On them which fell, severity. So that severity can be called what? Damnation, because they rejected life. Are we together? And God doesn't send. You receive through faith. Are we together? But what do you? Goodness. Since you continue what? In goodness. Otherwise, that also would have been what? Cut off. The goodness there will be what? Good conduct or faith? Faith. Look at the next verse. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief. So what's the goodness? Would that be faith? So it says, if they abide not still in unbelief, that is, if they change, if they repent, they shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Oh, so this is not condemning. This is just that they are not allowed into the kingdom because they have not what? Believed. Whether they are the physical children of Abraham or not, it does not matter. What God wanted is faith. And if the Gentile world embraces by faith, they will be grafted in. Are we together? Interestingly, the ministry is coming to the Gentiles now and early because the Jews was rejected it. Maybe Paul would have taken much time still being with the Jews for very, very many more years. But because they rejected, he has to now, it speeded up his journey. Are we together? To the Gentile churches. Are we together? Are we together? So where did we see the word blessed the other time? In verse 12, riches, right? The word riches, rather. Verse what? 12. So look at verse 11 again. It says, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto thee. Do you understand that now? To provoke them to what? Now look at verse 12, everybody. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world. Does that make sense to you? So, what does it mean by the fall of them is the riches of the world? Their seeming unbelief and rejection has turned out to be blessing. Are we together? Of the gospel to the Gentile nations. So riches, there's the material. That's why I went through all that. Are we together? That's why I went through all that. So is it clear to you now? Is it clear to you? Is it clear to you? In 11 verse 12. 11 verse 12 and verse 33. 11 verse 12 and then verse 33. Verse 33. It says, Romans 11:33. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable is judgment and truth are past finding out. So what would be the context? Would that be salvation? Is it the same Romans 11? So would the context still be salvation? So the riches, the depth of the riches refers to the wisdom and knowledge of God, which is salvation. Hallelujah. So again, look at texts. Let me give you those texts for your study quickly so I can close. Riches, the word plutus. You see, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 2. Ephesians 1 verse 7, the riches of his grace. And 18. Ephesians 1 verse 7 and 18. Ephesians 2 verse 7. God is rich in mercy. In mercy. This is a money. In Ephesians 3 verse 8, the manifold wisdom of God. And verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. Colossians 1 27, the riches kept hidden. In chapter 2 verse 2, Colossians 2 verse 2. So you are going to observe these words, does it refer to? Are we together? And then you're going to get back to me. Are we together? Philippians 4 19. 1 Timothy 6 17. Observe 1 Timothy 6 17. Okay? Observe 1 Timothy 6 17 and let me know if it is earthly or not. Hebrews 11 26. James 5 2. In all these texts, the only one that is earthly is 1 Timothy 6 17. Hence, you see the qualification on uncertain. Just like deceitfulness, uncertain. You see again Revelations 5 verse 12. Revelations 5 verse 12. When he says to the Lamb is worthy, he mentioned glory, he mentioned honor, he mentioned strength, he mentioned praise, he mentioned wisdom, he now mentioned riches. Riches can't stand out as material when every other. Did you understand?
Okay.
In Revelation 18, verse 17, also. Revelation 18, verse 17. Another word you see is the word wealth. So just do the study yourself. Just go by it. You see wealth in Acts 19, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24. And you observe that in 1 Corinthians 10, 24, Paul simply said, let every man look on another's wealth. But you're going to tell me a striking thing you observe there.
Are we together?
Are we together? I will give it to you, but there's a striking thing you observe there. You observe that the word wealth is italicized. That's what, just remove it. Are we together? Are we together? All right. So I just gave it to you. Another thing you should look at is money. Money. Look at money and see how money was taught. 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10. Acts 4:37. Acts 7:16. Acts 8:18. Acts 8:20 was used 2 times. Acts 4:37. Acts 7:16. Acts 8:18. Acts 8:20. Acts 24:26. Where they wanted Paul to bribe them, supposing that he would receive some money. You also observe that nowhere in this text was it recorded as God giving it or God supplying it. Never. John 2:14-15. Are we together? And in that case, Jesus was flogging people with money. Situate it in context. Don't be afraid. God is not flogging you. John 2:14-15. That was money changers. Luke 9:3. Luke 19:15-23. Luke 22:5. Then, where money was used in Mark and Matthew, were the same accounts we just saw in Matthew, in Luke, and then in John. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So come back home. Ephesians 1:3. We'll close there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he says, blessed be. So when it's blessed, hallelujah, that would refer to what? To speak well of. Glory to God forevermore. To speak well of. Blessed. Blessed be God. Worthy is God. He says, who has blessed us, who has spoken well of us, hallelujah, with all spiritual blessings. That will be the blessedness of the Spirit, which is words. He says, in Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, I showed you last week that in exploring the blessedness of God mentioned in Ephesians 1, in verse 3, look at that text. Look at how he qualifies verse 3. He says in verse 4 that the blessedness of God is our what? We are chosen in Him. He says we are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. So look at this. In the things that God has said about you, He said that you are holy and without blame because of what He has done. Paul calls this the blessing of the Spirit. In verse 5, He says that He has predestinated us to the adoption of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In verse 6, it says that you are accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. In verse 7, He calls that blessing redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. He says it's according to His grace. In verse 8, 9, in verse 8, He says He has abounded unto us in all wisdom. Talking about revelation. In 9, revelation. In 10, He says, in the fullness of time, to gather all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and earth in him. And it's referring to what he has done already. Your identity and your citizenship in Christ. In verse 11, he says he had predestinated us according to the counsel of his own will, that we should obtain an inheritance, and we have obtained it. You know also we have obtained an inheritance. In verse 13, he says, in whom you also trusted after that you had the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So very clearly, it's clear to you and I, that when he says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, the us in that text refers to believers. Because it comes in verse 12, he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Then he says, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of glory, who first trusted in Christ. The word first trusted there is one word in the Greek, first trusted. Is the word proelpizo. Proelpizo is spelled P-R-O, pro, which means in view of. Like you have in proepagelomai, are we together? Or you have the word pro, where do you have the word pro now? Are we together? Prorizo, are we together? Which speaks of foreordain or foreordination. Are we together? So he says, who first trusted in Christ? Now that statement, first trusted in Christ, explains the us in verse 3, who have been blessed. Now first trusted, proepizo, P-R-O-E-L-P-I-Z-O. P-R-O-E-L-P-I-Z-O. Proepizo. Two words. The word pro and the word elpizo. Elpizo itself is from the word elpis. Elpis speaks of assurance. Elpis speaks of trust. Hallelujah. It speaks of trust and assurance. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. So when he says we first trusted, that word proepizo means to believe. Are we together? In expectation of a future fulfillment. That means we believe the gospel, expecting that the promise of the gospel will be fulfilled. That's the meaning of proepizo. So, by that explanation, it's clear to you that when it says, who first trusted in Christ? Those who first trusted in Christ are the ones who have what? Obtained an inheritance. In verse 3, are the ones who have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Are we together? So, it says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Who is the us? Those who first what? Trusted in Christ. That means everything he ruled out from verse 4 to verse 11 were believed for. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. Inasmuch as the work was done, it was not accredited to your account until you have believed. So you believed and then everything came into your account. So you are now accepted in the beloved. You are now forgiven. You have redemption. Not because the work of redemption was done now, no, but because you received it. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. So what God has done for the church in Christ is what Paul calls spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. It is not material things. What God did in the work of salvation for the church in Christ is what Paul calls spiritual blessing. In our next sessions, we're going to explore that word spiritual. Are we together? But it's one pneumaticos, I've shown us. Pneumaticos, which means what is of the Spirit. It's used for the things of the Spirit. It's used for people, men of the Spirit. It's used for words. Are we together? It's when it says spiritual songs. It's used for songs of the Spirit. Are we together? It's used for conducts. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but carnal, in reference to their conduct. But Paul is saying, look at this, that anyone, before my close, that believes the gospel, hallelujah, has received what? That's which are blessed. Are we together? He goes on in Ephesians 1. And look at how he caps off that, what's it called? Paragraph. Because in verse 15, you see another paragraph. So that means the paragraph ended in verse 14 and verse 13. So can we read verse 13 together, everybody? He says, Now, look at the B part of verse 12. Read that B part. Want to go? Who first trusted in Christ? Verse 13, everybody. In whom also you trusted, after you had the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of... What is the promise? The promise is what is in verse 3, verse 4 rather, down to verse 11. That is the promise. So it says the Spirit of God in you is the seal of the promise. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The word sphragizo. S-P-H-R-A-G-I-Z-O. Sphragizo. A mark of permanence. A proof of arrival. A proof of a seal. When the king gives a word, even if it has not happened, even if it has not happened, when the king sits on the throne, and then he gives a word, he pronounces the word in your case, even if it has not happened, what the king does is that the king is going to give a seal, right? Sometimes it's by his, what's it called? Thumb. At other times, it's by his special ring. Are we together? Signature of the king. So they're going to put this something like a paint, like a red or a colored paint or a blue, and then they are going to put what? The signature there. Means this is what? This is stamped. Everything I said. As long as I'm alive, the king is saying my words will not what? Fall the ground unfulfilled. So that God being the king promised you things in redemption. And when you believed, just like that signature of a king, Spirit he puts in you as that signature. So the Spirit of God in the believer, hallelujah, is the mark of approval, of confirmation that everything that God has said concerning the believer, hallelujah, is true. It's true, it has come to pass, or it's true, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Look at what it says in verse 14. Everybody want to go? Which is the earnest of our what? Inheritance. Again, that word earnest means surety. Of our inheritance unto the what? The redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. So it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, what did that cause me to do? Verse 16. What did that cause me to do? Rejoice! Hallelujah. Did you see that? Did you see that? So Paul is expressing assurance. He says, oh, all of this is to us, and all this is, and all this is, and all this is. So when I heard that you also have believed, I began to give thanks. And I did not cease to pray that the faith will be effectual, that it will increase in the knowledge of the Son, which is spiritual wisdom, that the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light. Hallelujah. You may know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his angels and the saints and the exceeding greatness of his power towards all who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and has given him a name that is above every name. Hallelujah. And has set him, hallelujah, to be the head to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that was filled all in all. And glory to God. So he brings you into that. Why? Because you have believed. Glory to God. So look at this. Anyone who has believed the gospel has arrived. He has what? Arrived. He receives the Spirit of God as a mark of permanence, a mark of approval. So that same wherefore is where Paul is speaking from in Ephesians 6. So Paul's exhortation in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong, is upon the strength of what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. In verse 18 and 19, he says he raised him from the dead, far above all principalities and power. Hallelujah. So look at it. Jesus is on the highest throne in heaven and on earth today, and he's sitting there for you. Glory to God. He sits in the highest throne. So the highest seat in heaven and on earth
Are sitting on it a man. Hallelujah. Sitting there for the church. So he says, based on this, he has made the Spirit available. And the Spirit dwells in the believer. Say, the Spirit of God is in me. Say, I have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know, it must not be an obsolete confession. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You must never get tired or get old or get used to saying it. I have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You can't get tired saying it. Say, ah, my Bible study has passed that level. No, it can't pass that level. It is on that level. Are we together? Your Bible study is on that level. Is it clear? Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Spirit of God. Say, I'm indwelt by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. Say, I'm preserved by the Spirit. So he says, be strong. Hallelujah. He says, be strong. Hallelujah. He says, be strong. Hallelujah. Before he says, be strong, he shows you a supply. Say, God has made his supply abound to me. And he's giving me revelation. Hallelujah. Say, God has given me a supply. And he's giving me a revelation. We saw from Joshua 1, right? We saw from Joshua 1. He says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Hallelujah. To give you, he says, every land, hallelujah, that the soles of your feet shall touch. He says, that, he didn't say, will I. He says, have I given? No way to God forevermore. What did he now tell Joshua? He says, therefore, be very what? Be strong and be very courageous. It takes courage to go. Hallelujah. Look at this. There are things that God has done. There are now instructions he will give you. The instructions will not get his work done alone. The instructions we bring into manifestations, he's already done work. Hallelujah. So he has done the bulk of the work. He has only called us to. So look at me, church. That is ministry. Ministry is walking in God's victory. That's it. That is why it is grace. You are not fighting witches. You are not fighting wizards. We are not fighting. We know. Hallelujah. We are walking in the Lord's victory. So he says, finally, my brethren, he says, be strong. In other words, upon all this, upon the supply of the Lord, just like he told Joshua. So he says, look at this. You are going to read into the Old Testament, and you are going to read Joshua, and you are going to see yourself as today's Joshua. You are going to see yourself as the now Joshua. Hallelujah. Receive the promise of God. Receive the mandate of God. You have been enlightened on the plan of God. You are growing in the knowledge of his will. He says, look at this. You will be courageous. Say, I'm courageous. Courageous means you are hard. Say, I'll be hard. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Courageous means you will not back down. Say, I will not back down. Courageous means you will keep going forward. Say, I'll keep going forward. Courageous means you will go for it. Say, I'll go for it. Say, I'll go for it. Say, I'll go for it. Hallelujah. Say, I'll go for it. Say, I'll go for it. Say, I'll go for it. Go for it. So I'm going to go for it this week. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? We're going to go for it for the rest of the year. We're going to go for it this month. We'll go for it. We'll go for souls, and we'll go for everything else that will make the work of souls possible. Is it clear, church? If it's money, go for it. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. If it's increase in the things you do in the natural, you go for it. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. If it's your health being brought to shape, you go for it. Hallelujah. And we're going to go for the souls, and we're going to go for everything that makes the work of souls possible. I told you weeks ago that the believer's authority is founded around the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Can we use our authority in many other areas? Yes. One of the things you observe in the believer's authority is that overcoming temptations is also another solid part of the believer's authority. Hallelujah. So you see, the temptations come to Jesus in Matthew 4. And he kept on saying, it is written. So temptations are a batch of authorities. Hallelujah. There's the authority of this realm, but there's the believer's authority. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Bad news is an authority of this realm, but there is the believer's authority. Are we together? Are we together? False news, false religions is an authority. They are governments, they are principalities, they are powers that put us out bad news and instigate people to put us out bad news, to put out bad news, put out fake news, or even to carry out fake activities, dastard activities, destructive activities, chaotic activities. But there is the believer's authority. Are we together? Wherewith we are able to what? To quench. Everything thrown at me, I quench. Hallelujah. Look at this. Every stone thrown at me, I use it to climb. Are we together? I have the wisdom of God. It's a clear church. So Paul says, be strong in the Lord. You are going to be strong. Glory to God forevermore. Because there's so much to walk in. There's so much to reach. There's so much to do. Hallelujah. There's so many places to go. Are we together? We're going to travel around the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Preaching the gospel. He declared, we're going to be on aircraft, don't worry. Preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. For his hands, in the name of the Lord Jesus. He has given me a song. He has given me a message. He has given me a light to carry out that message. He has given me a walk. And he has given me the right and the privilege to carry out the work. There's no stopping me. There is no stopping me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. There's no stopping me. In my health, there's no stopping me. In my visions, there's no stopping me. In every cool thing that God has laid on my mind, no matter how natural or secular it is, there's no stopping me. I'm going for all. Hallelujah. I'm going for the ministry. And I'm going for many more things. See, I'm going for the ministry. And I'm going for the many more things with the ministry. Hallelujah. 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 Lift up your hand and give God praise, church, this morning. You have the believer's authority. He has put all things under his feet. Gave him to be the head over all things through the church. Who are the church? Those of us trusted in Christ. Who are the church? Those who believe the gospel of salvation. Who are the church? Those who receive the word of truth. Who are the church? The saints in Christ. Who are the church? The one who are called to the hope of his calling. Who are the church? The one who have received redemption through his blood. Who are the church? The one who have received. Who are our beloveds? Accepted in the beloved. Who are the church? The ones who have been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So you walk. So you walk. Go ahead and pray the Holy Ghost. I walk in my dominion over the forces of darkness, over forces of evil, over forces of evil, over forces of darkness. Over forces of evil. In all of those evil camps, let there be confusion. In all of those evil camps, let there be confusion. In all of those camps of evil, let there be confusion. Then let God's light shine. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I walk in supernatural victory. I walk in supernatural victory. I walk in supernatural victory.
all out. I go all out. In the natural, I go all out. For the spiritual, I go all out. All out. Amen. Amen. Look at this. It means that for the believer, it's not a function of ability. It's a function of direction. How are we together? It's not ability. It's God leading me. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? For the believer, it is not, am I able to? No, it's God leading me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So for the natural, go all out. Let there be a question in your mind every night and day this week. Keep this question in your mind night and day this month. Night and day for the rest of the year. And make it a pattern and a custom that follows you into the new year, and the new year after that, and the new year after that. Let that question propel you to walk. Are we together? And what is the question? Is this all I can do? Go for it! Are we together, church? In the natural, what did I say you should do? What have I said you should do? Go for it. For the spiritual, what is the instruction? What is the instruction? What is the instruction? In the natural, natural would include schooling. Natural would include business. Natural would include interactions, relationships, friendships. Are we together? Naturals would include doors to offices, jobs. Naturals would include people's health. Are we together? Natural would include reconciliations, advice, use your words, speaking, boldness in your everyday conversation. Are we together? Calmness, patience, resoluteness, doggedness, ruggedness, steadfastness. So in the natural, what is the instruction? Go for it! Hallelujah! You're not hearing me clearly. Go for those businesses. Are we together? Go for it. Ziklag? Go for it. And if you are already in that direction, then go further. For the ministry, for the spiritual, go for it. Go for a higher and stronger prayer life this month. Personal. Go for your fastings. Are we together? Go for a stronger walk with God. Go for it. Go for it. On our outreaches, we're going to go for it. Hallelujah. In ourselves, we go for it. Are we together, church? Yeah, go for it. So what's the instruction? A question? What's the question? Is this all you can do? Is this all you can do? Then go for it. I challenge you this morning. Go for it. Hallelujah. The hand of God is upon you. The victory of the Lord is right before you. The power of God is right ahead of you. To cause those walls to fall. The power of God goes right before you. Walking like that rod in the hand of Moses. Crossing even the closest waves of the stream and waters and seas and nations. Even nations. Waters to open up. To pass. The power of God goes before you, making dry land appear in places where it has all been water. And that same power causing rivers to appear in places where it had before been dry grounds. Yes. For there is no dryness for my church. Where I have done the work. And I've shown you the walk. And I've empowered you. Only walk in my victory. So go for it. Go for all that will bring me joy. And go for all that will bring you joy in my name. Go for all that will bring joy to my church.
that will bring joy to my assembly. Go for all. Go for all. Go for all. That will bring stability to my walk. Go for all. Go for all. That will spread my knowledge in those circles of relationships and friendships and influences. Go for all. Go for all. Go for all. Go for all. Let this ideology, let this thinking, let this thought and mindset wash itself into every aspect of your endeavors. Where you are found going for all, never be less busy, never be weary, never be tired, but go for it. The hand of the Lord is upon you. The eyes of the Lord shines upon you. The voice of the Lord has gone before you. The grace of the Lord is your backing. The resolve of the Lord will get it done. The zeal of the Lord is at work. The Spirit of God hovers upon you and hovers over what you hover around. So don't give up on those things. Keep hovering around it. Keep going back there. Keep saying those things. Keep going back to those places. Keep attempting that. Keep at it. It's going to open. It's going to open. For my spirit is going to hover around things you hover on. My spirit is going to brood around things that you brood upon. And you're going to see my counsel come into manifestation. For victory is yours. Victory is yours in my name. Victory is for the church. Victory, direction, strength, valor, might, power, grace, glory in the ministry of the gospel belongs to my church. These are many more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be on your feet before God. Hallelujah. Say, I receive. Glory to God forevermore. Say, I receive. Say, I receive. Say, I receive. Glory to God forever. Say, I receive. Say it again. Say, I receive. Say, I see. And I receive. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.